leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones.
Facebook and Instagram banned conspiracy theorist Alex Jones.
I am now completely banned.
Now, InfoWars, of course, is that web show and website led by rageaholic Alex Jones.
I want them shut down. I want them silenced. I want them muted. I think they are horrible for our society.
These people aren't terrifying or anything.
But there's also guys on CNN that spend their whole day calling Facebook and saying, can you ban this person?
These are very extreme individuals, and no matter what anyone tells you, they are extremists, and that's why Facebook decided to get rid of them. Basically, they've deemed these individuals to be dangerous, is what Facebook is saying. Those individuals include people like right-wing conspiracy theorist Alex Jones.
Organizations like Media Matters have pointed out consistently how Alex Jones and other InfoWars pages had just simply circumvented any ban by starting a different account or going on Instagram.
If you don't like someone on Facebook, don't follow them. It's not that hard to figure out.
Facebook, are you going to do something about the liberals who call me the N-word? No, because big tech is only interested in going after conservatives. You know, the really dangerous ones.
Dangerous as in saying things that Mark Zuckerberg doesn't like.
President Trump retweeted Paul Joseph Watson twice and a brief video by InfoWars' Millie Weaver. Social media's hall monitor, Brad Stelter, was not very happy about it.
He is promoting the same alternative universe as InfoWars.
Back to your point, though, about the InfoWars presidency, I want to know, and I tweeted this the other day, what is the difference at this point between Trump's Twitter feed and InfoWars.com?
InfoWars content is useful to him. InfoWars personalities align with him.
I want them shut down. I want them silenced. I want them muted. I think they are horrible for our society.
I want them shut down. I want them silenced. I want them muted.
But don't worry. These people aren't terrifying or anything.
InfoWars, the most banned network in the world.
And ladies and gentlemen, we're live. It's Friday, May 10th, 2019. I'm your host, Alex Jones. We'll be here for the next 4 hours. Then Owen Schroyer, obviously, with the War Room. Every morning before I go live, we have David Knight with the David Knight Show and the fabulous job he is doing as well. Yesterday, I said that I would cover this lengthy New York Times 24-page article written by the co-founder of Microsoft of Facebook. And I never got to it because I wanted to reread it again last night before I gave you my informed take on it. Because this really signals what the establishment is planning to do, not just with Facebook, but with the rest of big tech and the monopoly that's been set up over speech. And I can tell you it's not going to be good. It's going to be worse than it's already been. But they're going to sell their so-called solution to the problem as if it is pro-free speech. So I will get into that today. We have cleared the decks to have open phones throughout the broadcast. We have a ton of just over-the-top incredible news to break down. We have the hysteria over the National Baseball League and the Cubs and somebody making an okay sign and the person being banned for life from the stadium. And that clip where Millie Weaver is out and people are telling her just last week that she's using code word, you know, for racism. And the same thing happened this week to Caitlin Bennett, where she's at Kent State and she's talking to someone and they say, well, you deserve to be taken off the air because you're using coded racism. So see, you shouldn't take somebody off the air because they're racist, period, because then they'll take everybody else's speech. And now we're learning that where they just define everything as racist as the free speech collapses around us. Microsoft is coming out with its new Word program that watches you in real time, reports back on what you're typing, and won't let you type certain things. New app encourages Americans to report offensive speech. That's up on InfoWars.com. It's all happening. The Communist Chinese Social Score, it's not just coming to America, but it's coming to the entire planet. Again, we'll be right back on the other side of this broadcast. Newswars.com, PrisonPlanet.com are our auxiliary sites that are just as important as InfoWars.com. Because more and more, it's being blacklisted everywhere, as you know. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Fortunatando,
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Make no mistake, humanity is openly losing its soul in front of us. Most of the public behave and look like literal zombies now. Basic freedoms are seen as the enemy now. And communist China is now the model of the planet. Coca-Cola is coming out to celebrate Ramadan with a crescent moon. But of course, they would never put a cross on the Coca-Colas for Christmas or for Easter. And big tech is removing any mention of Christian holidays from their calendars. Just thought I'd add that right up front for everybody to just break down the fact that the establishment is hopelessly anti-Christian in all of their operations. All right, let me tell you what's coming up today. If my voice sounds particularly deep, something's going on. I didn't have allergies till I was about 20. And then they progressively gotten worse over the years. I don't hardly ever get the flu or get a fever, maybe once every 3-4 years. I'm very healthy. But almost everyone I know for 5 months in Austin has had incredible allergies and gets incredibly sick from them. And I literally couldn't get out of bed this morning. It was so bad. My headache was so intense. And my wife came in and she said, you know, I take the pollen block that you guys sell. Why don't you take it? And I'm like, oh, of course, bring me some. 30 minutes later, 70% of the dizziness, the pounding sinus was gone. My sinuses opened up, and like a faucet, my nose started running, relieving all that incredible pressure that I could not get out with a handkerchief. But you know how it is, if you're a guy especially, I just don't even think about my own advice. I never even think about things that I'm saying myself. So I didn't mean to open the broadcast up with a plug right at the front. I really never do that for what funds our operation. But we do have that one-minute ad pulled in, don't we? So I'm going to play that here in just a moment since we're mentioning that. For Pollen Block that you hear running on the radio, because it really is amazing. It's quail eggs from France that they learned that the quail that ate a certain diet in the wild forest and woods, if you ate those eggs, then you would have a massive reduction in histamines. So, again, that's what is so exciting about the different systems that God's basically given us, that God's designed. And Pollen Block has 70-plus reviews. It's got a 4.7 stars. And Pollen Block is simply amazing. And you just crunch them up in your mouth. They don't taste good. They don't taste bad. They have kind of like an egg flavor. It's just little white capsules. You just chew those up. And scientists aren't even sure how it works. But for me, it works better than Claritin D or Zyrtec D, which works pretty well when I have allergies, except it makes me feel like I'm speeding and have had 10 cups of coffee and I'm a big jerk when I take it. So I don't take Zyrtec D. I don't take Claritin D. And I was getting ready to take one. And my wife's like, I'm like, go get some Zyrtec D, Claritin D, dig it out. Do you have it? She goes, look, honey, we don't take those. That's when we get in fights is when we both take those. The only time we fight is when we take those together. She has allergies too. That's the only time we ever have arguments. We're like, oh, why are we arguing? Oh, we took Zyrtec D or Claritin D. She's like, here, take this. And so I took the pollen block. 35 minutes later, starts draining, pressure goes away, and now about 90% better than I was 3-4 hours ago. I was going to call and cancel coming in, something I never do for sickness. But again, it was all because I thought to take the pollen block. Also did the neti pot with the distilled water. You call it the neti pot. I use the modern ones. They're little squishy deals. But that's all a side issue. The point is pollen block is available at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling toll-free 253-3139. Again, 888-253-3139. And here is the one-minute ad that basically breaks it down.
InfoWars Life is bringing you a breakthrough in modern medicine. Introducing Pollen Block. We have found an extraordinary new, natural way to alleviate seasonal distress symptoms, including promoting clear nasal and sinus passageways, eye comfort, and respiratory function. In the 1960s, researchers in France noticed that people who ate certain quail eggs experienced less seasonal immune and inflammatory responses. They began studying this effect in published trials, and decades later, we now have the fruit of this research, a fast-acting, chewable tablet that helps alleviate seasonal distress symptoms. Pollen Block is natural and effective. It is not an antihistamine. In fact, current research has found that it actually acts by blocking the activity of tryptase, which is an enzyme that amplifies immune and inflammatory responses in the body. Go outside and enjoy the air you breathe. Head to InfoWarsLife.com and grab a pack of our Pollen Block chewable tablets.
Man, I tell you, what a world, what a world, what a world. Out here on this planet, what do you think is going to happen to all of us as the soul fades from humanity right in front of us? It's going to be rough. It's going to be rough, going to be tough, going to be hard. Just the way it is, though. Just the way it is. All right. Well, that's a good start to the broadcast today. We have got an incredible amount of news and information to go over here, to say it lightly. And I'm going to do my very best job to cover it all today for you. I'll do it. We have old Hillary Clinton stomping around on the campaign trail, attacking the First Amendment, attacking yours truly, attacking reality. And we've caught her in some new spectacular foot-in-the-mouth moments, so that's coming up. As I mentioned, you've got this Cubs situation with the okay sign. And we're going to be going over all of that coming up. And just how the system is moving on to attacking other words. Now the system is moving on to attacking language itself, and how that's really the plan to complete the destruction of humanity's cognitive communication skills and the conversion of the universities into systems of higher learning and education and free thought to systems of destruction of words, which was the Fabian socialist model in England and has been the model and is now being deployed against free humanity. Again, this is a premeditated plan. The televisions, the smartphones, all of it were rolled out with exact flicker rates to manipulate your dopamine, to destroy attention spans, and to destroy memory. And then once they give you all these false memories through the TVs and the smartphones, you can't differentiate real memories from false memories. And then they're able to start programming the subconscious to flip switches to make you turn your life force off, your will to live, your will to survive, and your focus. And so the average person out there is in a hypnotic state is being maneuvered into a neurological collapse. We are the most drugged, most dumbed down population in world history. The United States leads the pack worldwide of that. We are entertained to death. We live in fantasy land. And I don't say all of this to be negative. I say it so that we can recognize what's going on, recognize what's happening, and hopefully turn around and fix it in some capacity. So I'm going to officially start the show when we come back. I'm going to not see the last 15 minutes as the broadcast. And when we come back, I'm going to start the broadcast. And I'm going to do the best job I can to lay out what we're dealing with and how we turn the tide against this. And I also intend to open the phones up throughout the show today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you.
can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
China did not have running water in over 90% of the nation just 40, 50 years ago. But now, they have more industry, more technology, more science than we do. Because our government was against our country via the Council on Foreign Relations Board and set up systems to make the new century the Chinese century. And we're in that new century, 19 years into it, and Trump is not playing ball with them so far. And so the big trade war has kicked into high gear. China vows to retaliate after U.S. hikes tariffs. We're going to be talking more about this coming up later in the hour. Also, Ann Coulter says the surge of illegals under Trump is worse than any year under Obama. She says, that's 3D chess, baby. Well, yeah, the Democrats under Obama started breaking the border and telling folks, come on up here, to overwhelm the system so the courts and the detention centers would collapse. And then now we're in the middle of the UN invasion, just like Europe has been under for 10 years. And then she blames Trump that Congress and the people haven't acted properly. The president's been trying to get the legislation. He tried to get $12 billion. He got $1.3 billion to deal with extra border security. Now, he should declare a real emergency, not just the police emergency he declared, but a full emergency as commander-in-chief. He could do that. He hasn't. But for Ann Coulter to continue to say that it's Trump doing it is not fair. I get it, though. You put pressure on Trump, he acts. And so I guess at the end of the day, he hasn't declared the true emergency. This is an emergency. Diseases are pouring in, you name it. So I guess, in a way, she is right. Those are some of the topics I want to discuss with listeners here today. And we're going to have open phones in the second and in the third hour of the broadcast today. In fact, I'll probably start getting to your calls in the last segment of this hour. So the toll-free number to join us on air is 877-789-2539, 877-789-ALEX. And again, first-time callers or callers that have called in but been on hold, haven't gotten on air, that counts you as a first-time caller, 877-789-ALEX. We've been having some really great callers as of late. And so the first 20 calls or so that get in are first-time callers. After that, other folks are welcome. We'd love to hear from you. But I don't want to make you sit on hold. You know, I've been getting better about taking 20 calls when I take calls, instead of maybe 10 calls. But it still takes a couple hours to get to you. So we're going to try to move through those as quickly as possible. I'm doing a little bit better job, but obviously not the best job I could do. So I look forward to speaking to you on any of these issues, on any of these topics that you'd like to discuss, the censorship taking place, all the rest of it. 877-789-2539 is the toll-free number to join us. I wanted to play a Mark Dice report instead of just playing Comey at his town hall last night, because I think Mark does the best job breaking it all down. But Comey really has a lot of nerve. Former FBI director, disgraced, lied to Congress, perjured himself, a big leaker. He has a lot to show. He's in a serious crisis. Instead, he just doubles down and says that Trump could be indicted once he leaves office. Here's the report.
On Thursday, CNN held one of their famous town hall events to commemorate the two-year anniversary of President Trump firing James Comey.
Now, welcome back to our 360 town hall with former FBI Director James Comey. He's also the author of a book, A Higher Loyalty, which is now out in paperback with a whole brand new forward. We've been getting questions from our audience. We'll go back to the audience in just a second. I want to ask you...
Oh, Jim, you poor thing. It's been 2 years to the day since Donald Trump fired you. Are you doing okay?
I was numb because I didn't expect to be fired. I was actually in a room about this size talking to custodial staff employees about the importance of the FBI's mission. So it still feels a little bit numbing, frankly, and like it happened yesterday.
Oh, you poor guy, how are you going to survive with your full government pension of six figures for the rest of your life and the millions of dollars you made off of your dumb book?
Since the Democrat Party is a complete joke, it makes perfect sense that a parody website of Joe Biden's 2020 campaign is ranked higher on Google than his official campaign website. CNBC reports that the parody website with embarrassing photos of Joe, sniffing women's hair, is outranking his official campaign page on Google. I'm sure that Google will change this soon, but right now, if you just type in Joe Biden into the search, the top search results are his Wikipedia page, his Twitter account, his Facebook page, CNBC, some other pages. And then right there, Joe Biden for president 2020. Uncle Joe is back and ready to take a hands-on approach to America's problems. At the bottom of the page, Google often includes a little box of similar searches. And take a look at what the similar searches are to Joe Biden. It says people also ask, has Joe Biden ever run for president? That's the number one connected result. Did Joe Biden die? It's number two. Many Democrats are thrilled that Joe Biden has decided to re-enter the presidential race, and he's number one in all of the polls. But not all of them are happy about it.
It's something to see all three the top of the polls being led by three white men, though. I have to say it. I am concerned that as someone who worked for a woman candidate last time, that there's something that about the sort of biases we still hold about leadership and what that looks like that makes us gravitate towards men and even white men, and that there's something about.
Somebody should tell the Democrats that the core of Martin Luther King's message was to not judge people based on the color of their skin, but on the content of their character. That means even if they're white, you lunatics. In other news, Elizabeth Warren's campaign is not doing so well. In fact, she's polling in third place in her own state. And that's why she's taking desperate measures, like offering the kids free college and just canceling all of their student loans. Oh, here she is doing another live stream from her kitchen, trying to connect with the young voters.
Hey, kids, I'll get to your questions here in just a second. Well, almost done. Yep, yeah, just one more. Just hold on one second here.
By the way, this is satire.
Almost ready for you.
We need to fact check this to see if this is real. Drinking beer, smoking a bong.
Okay, what's your questions?
Meanwhile, Cory Booker is polling even lower than Elizabeth Warren at just 3%, and I can't imagine why.
What do you say to somebody who says, yeah, I'm not crazy about Trump, but the economy has done so much better, and Republicans keep telling me the Democratic nominee is going to raise my taxes, and he is talking about raising taxes, so that might hurt the economy, that might hurt my bottom line. What's the counter-argument to that?
Look, I think that we live in a nation with far more patriotism than people are expressing. What I mean by that is folks want the best for their country.
Democrats won't mind paying more taxes because they're patriotic, he says. No, they're just stupid. Oh, look at this. James Comey's town hall is still going on an hour and 15 minutes later. CNN is like the more
folks, we'll be right back on the other side of this quick break. We'll get into the OK sign hysteria and the end of free speech.
You are either with the Republic or against it. Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
Thank you for joining us on this live Global Friday transmission. I am your host, Alex Jones. So let's lay out the facts of political correctness, of microaggressions that colleges and corporations are teaching their employees to recognize. You see, when you don't have a bunch of KKK running around or real people saying the N-word, you've got to have folks like Jesse Smollett go out and stage it. And when they get caught, well, you've got to go ahead and cover up for him, because actually he's a hero who is out there turning everybody into victims and continuing the racial division that Hillary Clinton talks about in WikiLeaks, how it needs to be intensified so she can control all these, quote, dumb baristas. These are quotes. So she's in these professor talks with professors in email about how do we control the dumb baristas? How do we control the dumb blacks? How do we keep these predators under our control? And they say, you've got to intensify culture war. Men against women, women against men. gay against straight, black against white, Hispanic against black, on and on and on. And so you've got to create what you call dog whistles. If I don't want the IMF and World Bank running my life, if I don't want the TPP unelected running my life, if I don't want all these big multinational agreements, like the Trans-Pacific Partnership that was set up a decade before by Hillary. She brags that she helped write much of it. If I don't want to be ruled by multinational secretive boards based in Singapore, why, that's dog whistle for anti-Semitism. Nigel Farage comes on the show routinely, founder of UKIP, now the head of the Brexit party that's sweeping Europe. They've got London Guardian articles, Associated Press articles. Is he a white supremacist for coming on the white supremacist show, Alex Jones? Lies within lies within lies. And so you say, well, we'll just laugh at this. No, they'll take your bank account. They'll ban you from the baseball field for life. They will oppress you. So when they give you the false definition, they then, as tyrants, use that to then oppress and control you. Now, obviously, you know that. But they're going to have to be sued. They're going to have to be criminally charged because this is an organized racketeering operation by Hope Not Hate in the UK. That's the Southern Poverty Law Center group over there. The SPLC here and others. Where they are organizing and manipulating and knowingly lying about people to then create a banking and travel designation in the national security apparatus to literally deny you the ability to travel and live your life. Think about that. And that's in the news today. Kamala Harris was in Detroit 2 days ago. She said, right-wingism is racist. They need to be banned. They need to be arrested. And so you go to the universities and you see almost every person you talk to, black, white, old, young, male, female, saying you don't deserve speech because you're a conservative or you support Trump. And they have hate in their eyes and they're glaring at you. But even the few that were for restricting free speech that were friendly in their demeanor still said outrageous things like, well, we have to report things we see online or on the campus or in general life if it's hurtful to somebody or if it's a dog whistle. Now, that's how you make selectively everything on earth selectively bannable. And you say the okay sign that everybody associates with, do you have enough oxygen in your tanks when you're diving? Yes. Or SWAT teams. Everything good? Yes. It's the international okay symbol. Chefs for 100 years in France and Italy, you can see it on the, you know, the cans of some tomato sauce. The chef will be going with the okay to their lips, which really means fabulous, delicioso. So these are normal human hand signs. Okay? They take it. Hillary comes out and calls it white supremacists. And then everyone makes a joke out of it on 4chan. And then suddenly all the followers that buy into all this really believe they've seen this. Then jokers start getting involved in it. And we're off to the races. So here's the headline. Total BS, MLB team bans fan for life after flashing white power hand sign. And on the news, they even blurted out. Now, this all broke a few days ago. What's interesting now is it's reached a total hysteria. Ladies and gentlemen, I can show you 100 photos of Obama doing the okay sign. I can show you any politician or anybody in business or anybody in life doing the okay sign. It means okay. It means we're going to take care of it. It means things are going well. But even if the guy meant it as a white supremacist symbol, do we all get hysterical and now let every symbol out there be adopted and taken away from us? Is this what America's turned into? So here is a clip where 2 days ago at Kent State, you have a black student who just said he wants Caitlin to lose her speech, saying, because it's a dog whistle, a secret code. And then see, they can then project onto that, oh, you meant bad by this. Here it is.
That is like, you know, that's pretty much, that's hate speech.
What is hate speech?
Hate speech is defined as like stuff like, you know, making like subtle dog whistles and like, you know, remarks that on the surface aren't seen as hateful, but really are.
Like if you walk into a room and say, hey, you guys, dinner's ready. I'm not a guy, I'm a woman. That's taught at universities as hate, so you get to get upset about it. Now, here's a 7-Up ad from the 70s where you got a black guy talking about how great 7-Up is and making the okay sign, because this means it's good, like thumbs up. Here it is.
There's something very special about the taste of 7-Up that's unlike any other soft drink. Maybe because 7-Up has no artificial flavor and no artificial color. Never had it, never will. And no caffeine. Never had it, never will. Whatever it is that makes 7-Up so refreshingly different, the other soft drinks, never had it. Ha ha ha. Never will.
So, he's being authoritarian. In a good way. He's being authoritative. He's saying, with his index finger, does not have any bad stuff in it. He's saying, never had it, never will. And he's saying, it's really good, making the okay sign. That's called communication 101. I just was authoritative. If you're a TV viewer, now let's go to the hysteria over Cubs and somebody making the okay sign. Here it is.
Last night, the Cubs had a big win over Miami to put them in first place in the NL Central.
But now the Cubs are apologizing for something that happened in the stands. CBS2's Audrina Bigas is live outside Wrigley Field. Audrina, apparently a fan made an offensive gesture of some type.
They did. Good morning, Mike and Aaron. The Cubs are taking this very seriously. They're calling this gesture ignorant and repulsive. Now, here is what they're talking about.
Wait a minute, pause. She was just making the symbol herself, because you do it. Oh, my gosh, continue.
Doug Glanville was giving an update. Now, the fan behind him made the gesture that we've blurred out because it's just not appropriate and really offensive. It's a hand symbol often used by white supremacists. The Cubs say they are investigating this.
We're actively trying to find out the circumstances of how this person got into those seats and who they are, and that's important.
Yeah.
As we suggested in our statement last night, this type of behavior is reprehensible, it's ignorant, and it's not welcome at our ballpark.
This morning, the Cubs are also saying that any fan or really anyone in the ballpark who does something like this will not only be removed, but they'll be permanently banned from Wrigley Field.
And by the way,
we're live in Wrigleyville. Audrina,
they hunted this guy down. He's been banned for life. So you see how that works. It's just Jesse Smollett, the city of Smollett. They just made this up. They just found somebody. People are flipping each other off. They're cussing. Who cares? Somebody makes the sign. They obsess over it in a big pity party. Ban him. It's another Jesse Smollett hoax. This time brought to you by the Cubs and these local TV stations. What a bunch of despicable race-baiting scum. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alex Jones, your host. We've got loaded phone lines. Your calls are coming up at the start of the next hour. Next segment, we've got some incredible new footage of Hillary yesterday and outrageously unself-aware statements by her. That's next segment, and we've got her dead to rights. She says, they lie about me and say that I've killed people. Well, you've not only killed people, lady, you've bragged about it. But first, let me just finish up what I was covering earlier. Barack Obama has been caught flashing a white supremacist hand sign hundreds of times, and he needs to be banned immediately from any Cubs games in Chicago, which he's reported to go to. That's right. You've heard that the man a few days ago that flashed the OK sign, that is the international symbol of OK, in hand signing. Well, 4chan did a joke a few years ago to troll Hillary and said it was a white supremacist symbol when Trump was doing it. And it's a known sales tactic to say everything's, you know, premium, everything's A-okay, everything's complete, we're, you know, dinner's ready, you know, there's plenty of oxygen in our tanks, you know, the car's gassed up. It's hand sign, meaning everything's okay, we're done. If you place it to your mouth and go, that means in French, it's delicious, it's good. So you're a chef way across the kitchen, and is the sauce ready? It's done, it's done. But all of that turns into something evil and something bad. And this is mass mental illness. I see it all over the internet, though, not just that it's racist if you do it, but that it's a 666 sign. My whole life, I've used the OK sign because I saw people use it. Yeah, we're done. Hey, come on out of the house. You know, we're ready to go. How's the food taste? It's great. But it's projected by schizophrenics online that when I do this, it's a 666 sign, whatever that means. I guess you could say three fingers and then the zero means a six. I mean, that's just crazy. That's insane. You could argue that stars on the flag are pentagrams. It's intention that God looks at. The occult has taken on every symbol and made it their own. And that's really what the globalists are doing. You know, we're putting out a new shirt based on a NASA design, because I believe in pro-human space exploration. It's our own design, but similar to NASA's. And it's got a red, white, and blue, and yellow rainbow on it. And some people asked me, they said, why are you wearing a shirt with a rainbow? Well, A, it's not a classic My Little Pony rainbow, where it's got all the colors. It's NASA, meaning the colors of the atmosphere, meaning that the space shuttle's going out of the atmosphere, and the atmosphere actually has tinted colors to it as you go through it. That's what it means. But see, I'm not putting it out as some coded message that, you know, I'm going to go to the bathhouse today and have sex with five dudes. It's a NASA patch that's really cool. Everybody likes it. We've changed it. We're putting a shirt out that says Space Force with it. So it's the intent. You know, Washington said what the flag symbolized. The blue symbolizes God in the heavens. You will know God and his work by the work of his firmament. You pull those Bible verses. The blue is the sky. The blue is space and God. The stars are the colonies. The red is the blood sacrificed by the people to found the nation. And the white is the purity, but also the bandages of war. That's the red, white, and blue, ladies and gentlemen, not some satanic crap. You know, sometimes we've had articles about humanity's waking up, we're winning, and we'll have an image of the sun rising. Well, the Bible's got lots of passages about never fear, you know, the sun's going to rise in the morning, the light always comes back. But, oh, the occult sometimes uses the sun rising symbol, so you better not use it. This is mental illness. And so I'm a very expressive person. Everybody knows that. And I know our general audience gets this, but I wanted to be fair and not just bash leftists. I wanted to really get into this and explain that letting people manipulate you through symbols is not good. Folks should go off of, what does someone produce? Christ said, judge a tree by its fruits, not by the so-called symbol. Now, granted, an upside-down star, a Baphomet, is purely used by Satanists, invented by them, it's bad. The star is the sign of a human, the head, the arms, the legs. You invert that, it's an upside-down crucifixion of the human. It's an inversion. So there are symbols that were invented by evil, used by evil, for evil purposes. But almost every other symbol is subjective entirely. And I know our general audience knows this, but just think about this. We have dozens and dozens and dozens of videos. We got hundreds of them. I mean, probably thousands of every Democrat under the sun doing the OK sign. Because people have been using this for thousands of years. No one's even sure exactly where it came from. It just means everything is good. Everything is handled. Everything is taken care of. And yeah, you get into, I guess, Eastern mysticism and the Hindus or something, and I guess in meditation people do that, because when you touch forefinger and thumb, it's been known that it's some type of electrical charge takes place, and it's a connection, it's a calming thing. Anybody knows that if you've done it, if you touch your forefinger and your thumb together, it's very relaxing. So I do it a lot because I like it. Not because it's 666, not because it means hail the KKK or any stupid crap like that, but because it's a universal symbol like thumbs up or any of that. And again, I know our audience understands that. But the fact that it's one of the top stories in the country, that, oh my gosh, the panic that a white supremacist symbol got made, and they are defaming this poor guy that they threw out and took away his ability to go to the baseball game. He's banned, quote, for life. Gosh, you commit murder, you're only, you know, in jail for 20 years or whatever, but, oh, you're not politically correct, you're banned from Twitter for life, you're banned from Facebook for life, you're banned from the Cubs stadium for life. Imagine the message they're sending. Imagine what they're saying. They're saying what you say is more important than even what you do. That's the opposite of what God says. God says what you do is more important than what you say. Because what you do is the proof of the pudding. It's the fruit of the tree. So it comes down to that, and it's just astounding that everyone knows that everybody basically uses the OK sign. And the fact that they think they can sell this and have a hysteria all over the country about somebody making a sign, even if it was a bad sign, why do you give it attention? Why do you worship? Why do you empower it? Why do you make it a big deal? Because they want to make us superstitious of knowledge and symbols, and they want to turn us against each other and fight and make it create this illusion that there's this giant racism going on. When I bet $1,000 that guy's probably a listener, he should email show tips, prove it's him. Most guests we get on end up being listeners. And I bet he did it as an act of pro-Trump, as a sign of rebellion. Because once Hillary said it was a white supremacist symbol, being chumped, being trolled by 4chan as a joke, then Trump supporters started doing it as a sign of support for the president. Especially minority supporters of the president, because they get how ridiculous it is. So almost every time I'm posing for a photograph with a black or Hispanic person or family, they start flashing that and laughing because they get how ridiculous it is. It's ridiculous. You know, I've done this symbol before on TV, and people that hate me who are deceptive take it out of context. I love God. I hate the devil. I've done the symbol of the devil on air. And people then say, oh my gosh, he's a devil. No, I'm showing the symbol. But it could also be hook 'em horns. Again, it's what's the use of it? That's a longhorn. That, you could say, is Satanism. But that only got popularized in the 70s and 80s by Rodney James Dio and others. Before, this was the symbol of stopping a hex, or if you saw the devil or you saw evil, you did the sign of the devil at it to block it, because that's the sign of the devil, and that stopped it. So before, in Italy, in areas of Eastern Europe, for thousands of years, you can go back in the history books, this sign was to ward off evil. It was a symbol of get away, devil. Here's your symbol. You're bound by it. So again, people need to learn some real history and understand that the enemy wants you to be superstitious of knowledge, superstitious of evil, superstitious of good, superstitious of information, superstitious of anything, because they can project whatever name they want on it at any time. Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. I'm here live. I'm your host, Alex Jones. And then I'm back Sundays, 4 to 6 p.m. Central, live with a lot of special reports and internet-only transmissions we do at newswars.com, infowars.com, and prisonplanet.com on the weekends and at other special times as well. Okay, here's what I want to do. I want to go to your phone calls. And then I got a little bit behind last hour. And I can't believe I just spent two segments on the OK sign. It's not a white supremacist sign. That is a absolute fact. The swastika is when it was used by Hitler. But not when it's on Indian temples that are 3,000 years old that leftists from America go to India and demand they be taken down. The swastika is a sun symbol. The swastika is a symbol of the sun. I remember being like 5 years old at a Native American reservation. We were driving through out in Arizona and walking in, they had a big display of old Native American branding irons for, I guess they had some cattle or horses. And a couple of them were swastikas. And I remember seeing some of the blankets on the wall that had swastikas. And even when I was like 5, 6 years old, I said, Dad, is that the Nazis? He said, no, that's just the swastikas used by everybody around the world. Hitler just appropriated it. And I just can't believe we've gotten to this point that I just spent two segments on that. It makes me feel dirty. It makes me feel stupid. But you know what? It had to be done. It had to be covered. Because if you read 1984 by Eric Blair, a.k.a. George Orwell, and then you read all the nonfiction books that he wrote, you understand a really bird's eye view of what's really going on. And I'm not going to get into a whole long story about that. I'm just going to say this, that he was a liberal and he had the bleeding heart to help people. And he'd been in the police in India, federal police. Then he had been a big intellectual and writer in England. Then he'd been part of the Spanish Civil War and fought against the Nazis. And then he saw the corruption of the communists on the other side, just as bad as the Nazis. And then he was in World War II and was a propagandist at the BBC working for the Office of Strategic Services, then later MI6. And when he got let in on the actual plan, he wrote in 1984 and he died the year it was published in 1948. And that's why you read 1984, especially in today's climate, you're going to ask yourself, why is so much of this coming true? Why is this exactly what they do? The double think, the 10 minutes of hate. It's because the Fabian socialist out of England had developed a plan to break up the family, to dumb down the language, and to reduce things down to humans being like animals. And children would be taken at birth like you take a hen's eggs, is a quote he gave. And where knowledge is demonized and where colleges are platforms to destroy speech and where your own children denounce you and where the government force feeds porn to everybody so that no lasting relationships take place. And you ask yourself, how did this guy predict all this? Because he was at the highest levels of the planning. And Winston Smith is him. He admitted that in papers before he died. And that's their real plan. So you read 1984. You want to know where Hillary's taking us, where they're all taking us? That's their plan. And that's what all this garbage is. To believe that symbols are evil, but then true evil, oh, well, there's no good or evil. That's what I was trying to say before break earlier. We're going to be right back, I promise, with your phone calls in 60 seconds. Please stay with us. Friday, the 10th of May, 2019. I'm your host, Alex Jones. For the next 2 hours, we're going to go directly to your calls, ladies and gentlemen, starting out with Josh in California, who says he's a professor and wants to talk about censorship in the education system. Then we'll go to everybody else that is patiently holding as well. I said I'd get to it last hour. I didn't, but I will at the bottom of the hour play some chilling clips of Hillary where she calls for the end of free speech, basically, but then also says, because people say I'm a murderer. I'm going to play clips of her admitting she's a murderer when we air this. So this is coming up bottom of the hour. Josh in California, thank you so much for taking your time out to call. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking my call, Alex. First off, I want to say just a longtime listener, huge fan of the show. You're just this icon of kind of identity for the resistance, gives people like me hope. So first off, I just want to say thank you for doing what you're doing.
Thank you, sir.
So, yeah, I'm an instructor at a pretty liberal West Coast university out here in California in an arts program. And first off, I just want to say, you know, I see on the show a lot that you're, you know, you critique academics. And I just want to say, you know, don't paint us all with the same brush, because there are a lot of us that are conservatives, that are Christian, that are working in academia. But we can't speak up. We can't speak our minds because we will face some kind of retribution.
Oh, I totally know you're right. I totally know you're right. I mean, they had Evergreen where the mainly white professors said, well, no whites allowed this weekend. And a few professors tried to come get their stuff out of their desk and, you know, were thrown out of the school, death threatened until they had to quit. So I know that. I'm just saying we go to universities all over the country and our reporters do. And it is like a zombie invasion has taken place. 98% of people are anti-free speech. And it's just horrifying.
It's ridiculous. And this is my whole career that I've wrapped up in this. And I feel, you know, pretty enmeshed in this culture, but like I can't speak my mind. But the liberal professors can, of course, attack the president, can attack Christianity while teaching to even gen ed classes where that stuff doesn't even have to come into play. So I guess my question for you is, you know, there are a lot of people like me out there, but obviously we're not very visible. But, you know, you've seen it. Some people can see it. What's your advice to people like me? How can we help sort of alleviate censorship and kind of turn the tides of liberalism while working inside of this system?
Well, I think you just said it. Why can't you speak your mind? Because they'll file complaints on you. They'll get you fired. They'll harass you. So they're bullies. They're terrorists. And they like being bullies, like a street gang or something. And so I'm not judging you for keeping your head down and then quietly trying to, you know, wake people up. And I think there is a big rebellion on campuses, you know, against the monotheistic brainwashing of the left. But I think the president signing the executive order saying you're not going to have shutdowns of free speech on campuses, you're not going to have the banning of speakers, I think that should extend to the faculty of those institutions. I mean, it's been a long process of political correctness to phase out what was bastions of open free thought, the colleges, and it's happened, I guess, the last 30, 40 years, but it seems like since Obama came in, the bottom just dropped out. So what do you think?
Yeah, I think that we haven't really seen the tide start to shift. I mean, maybe we're seeing this more in the Midwestern universities, but certainly not out here on the West Coast. If anything, the kind of liberal presence on campus, the hypersensitivity to things like microaggressions, different gender identities seems to be increasing maybe over the past year to almost this level of absurdity. So, part of me doesn't know whether to either feed into that system and try to accelerate its collapse or to somehow resist this in a way that still keeps my head down and saves my career.
You know, I always mix these two studies together, so listeners should check it for yourself. But you had the Milner experiment, and you had the Stanford research experiments, and I always mix apples and oranges, but they've had a lot of university studies that have been published, some have not, as you know, where they found of authority figures told people to kill another student in an experiment, most people would finally kill fellow students. Even though they weren't really being killed, they were following orders, believing that was the case. And so I really think it is the Stanford research and Milner experiments are just examples of psychological manipulation and successive approximation that has allowed the cult-like environment. I mean, take China that finances Hollywood and Netflix and all this anti-human garbage. Here's an article right here. Now, I don't agree with this, but this is what China does. Transgender people in China are classified as mentally ill. They're put in slave camps and driven to perform self-surgery. Well, if you're cutting your own genitals off because you think you're a woman, that is mental illness. That is insane. But China says that's insane. But now we're going to have men winning powerlifting contests and track and field contests, and are going to say biological men are really women. And so now they estimate within 10 years, all of women's sports will be dominated by men. Now, how sick is that verbal mental gymnastics? This is the left saying, you'll accept whatever we say when we say. It's like AOC saying the world's going to end in 12 years, and then Beto O'Rourke adopts it. These are classic tenets of cults programming people when they say you must accept things that are clearly insane or you're ostracized. Your view on that? Josh?
Should death, in a way. It's somebody who got into the academic game as someone who wanted to embrace meritocracy to sort of push the limits. The things like you're referencing there in China, the Chinese reaction to this versus the sort of American reaction to this, it's just absolutely absurd. It feels kind of like we're living in a crazy kind of clown upside down universe.
And again, if you've got a free, open, truly egalitarian society like America was, how do you overthrow it? You discredit it. You discredit logic, common sense, and then you can overthrow it. And so that's why you see the system waging war against anything that makes sense. God bless you. I appreciate your call. Now, that was a great caller. I just spent 8-9 minutes with him. So when we come back, we're going to talk to Gene and Liberty Dog and Sean and Wendy and Mike and Anthony and Craig and Mike and Doug and Vincent. We're going to get to everybody in the order that their call was received. I'm very, very thankful for all of you calling in. And we will go through every different angle of this situation. At the bottom of the hour, I am going to play some of those Hillary clips. Let me just briefly remind listeners that we're under attack. They have harassed all of our sponsors into oblivion. They have taken away our opportunities to be able to advertise on third-party sites, to promote our own products, to fund the show. They have hit us in hundreds of different ways in organized crime. But thanks to you still coming through, and thanks to you buying the products at InfoWarsStore.com, we have been able to hang on here in the face of unprecedented, blistering, authoritarian attack. That said, we have a new product that I'm very, very proud of. And I think listeners realize how great this product is. They're buying it in record numbers. That's great. And that's Ultra 12. It's the same highest quality vitamin B12, methylcobalamin. We were able to sign a longer contract and make it twice as strong. But when you change a formula, you then have to change the name. So it's now not Secret 12, it's Ultra 12. No reviews yet. You can read the thousands of five-star reviews for Secret 12. This is just Secret 12, but twice as strong at InfoWarsLife.com. You can also call toll-free, 888-253-3139. We've got a big special that has to end early next week. That's the amazing Survival Shield X2, Deep Earth Pure Iodine Crystal. Learn about the iodine conspiracy. Learn about how important pure iodine is. Learn about how it's been removed out of the fields, out of the food, how it's been causing huge problems with iodine deficiency. Learn about iodine deficiency and lower IQ. Learn about iodine at proper levels, what it does for your body, your hormones, your glands, your libido, everything. Iodine is so incredible. We have the original X2. We're able to get it again via contract. We already made X3 by then that has the original, but also two different types in it. So all three types of triiodine. Get a free bottle of triiodine X3 when you get a bottle of X2, 25% off. So 25% off the X2, and then get the X3 absolutely free. That has to end soon because we're running low on X2. Available exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com or by calling toll-free, 888-253-3139. I'm Alex Jones. God bless you all. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what's really amazing? The United Nations admits, working with the big mega corporations, that they're flooding the United States and Europe with third world populations so they can politically have a group they control. Again, welcome back. I'm your host, Alex Jones. And I've got stacks of news on this I haven't even gotten to yet, where migrants terrorize elderly inhabitants of highest elevation Croatian village. That just broke exclusively at EuropeWars.com. That is just so crazy. That's some of what's coming up. But back to your phone calls right now. Who's up next here? Let's talk to Gene in Virginia, the war on Christianity. A great example of that is you'd never have Coca-Cola put a cross on their Coke cans. But now they're putting, for Ramadan, the crescent moon. And I say if it's predominantly Muslim area and you're selling Coke to them, do it. But they would never do that for Christianity because it's dirty. And again, the left loves to have all these after-school satanic deals but tries to shut down Christian ones. Why do you think there's such a war on Christianity, Gene?
Alex, it's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I believe that the war on Christianity, the reason it's happening is because it's the truth. I mean, you can pretty much disprove every religion but Christianity, in my humble opinion. It's not even a religion, in my opinion. It's a promise from God to deliver humanity from the grips of this force that I don't even think we really understand.
No, I agree. And the more I see the world government operate, the more I see the evil, the more you know the Bible's real. And how the globalists go out of their way to do everything the Bible says evil does. They want to hurt people. They want to dumb people down. They want our souls.
Yeah, and if you look at our current reality, it's pretty insane because people were the same, right, from like King David to George Washington. Everybody pretty much lived the same, am I right? Like there wasn't a whole lot of advance in technology at that time. I mean, and all of a sudden we're able to see across the world in real time. I mean, you read, for instance, if I can, read Revelation 11 sometime. People out there, it tells you that this system comes because,
it says there's a one-world government system. The beast can be seen at all times by all peoples. His image is worshipped. It's like a television screen. And he has individuals that go out and basically imprison and behead anyone that doesn't have his system. You can't buy or sell without him. I mean, wow, this is all really coming true.
It absolutely is, Alex. I can't really put into even express how real it is. It's powerful. Christianity is a power source. That's why they hate it. For instance, me, I didn't come from much. And I have to say, just honestly, when I was 23 years old, God told me to put my tools away. You could start your own business. I mean, I wasn't even a religious person. Like, I've never been to church in my life. Like, but I got connected to God. And my business has built itself. I don't even have business cards, man. I stay so busy. It's all just, I love God, I care about the kingdom, and my life just keeps getting better and better, no matter what.
Well, exactly, exactly. But the enemy tunes into the devil, and he does things for them, but always at the expense of others and always at the expense of them in the end. So exactly, there's like an Ethernet tuning into God, and then there's the tuning into the devil, and it's a real system, and the globalists know it, and that's why they want to make us evil and fallen, because then they get dominion over us, then they get to control us, and that's why their sacrament is killing babies. And as long as we then say we want to kill babies and that babies are worthless crap, well, then Satan has control. I appreciate your call. That's why I went and saw the movie Hail Satan earlier this week that's being pushed by the Democratic Party as their new operating system, and that it's still sweeping the country. It was so pathetic. They were so weak, but they make fun of dead babies. They talk about how fetuses are crap, and it's always that same bullying of the species, because it's a spirit that hates man. It's remained the image of God. It's that simple. Okay. Let's talk about big tech censorship with Sean in Virginia. Sean, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Al, it's the Lean Machine Jones. How you doing today, sir?
I'm doing pretty good today. I appreciate you. I appreciate the crew. I appreciate all the stations.
Hey, man, God bless you. God bless your crew, everybody out there. Hey, I just wanted to say that YouTube has really gone too far. I don't know if you're aware of this, but you cannot post American flag emojis on YouTube now.
I did not know that, but that's big news. Tell us about it. I do know this. Remember a year and a half ago, Project Veritas got into the New York Times, got into YouTube, Google, and Twitter. And in three of the videos, they had, you know, girls, they're talking to the managers, and they say, well, what's banned? He goes, well, anything with American flags or any type of veteran stuff or anything Alex Jones. So tell me about this.
Now, I was actually just on a live chat through Right Side Broadcasting Network, which is a conservative platform to begin with. And I posted an American flag, got immediately taken down. I tried it again, immediately taken down. So I asked the moderator, you know, what's the deal with this? And he said, well, people are triggered by the American flag now. You cannot post it.
But let's be clear. Were you in a YouTube live feed and then that's what happened?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Yeah. No, no. I mean, that's exactly it. People think I'm joking. It was 5 years ago. The Ninth Circuit ruled you can't wear American flags in public schools in however many Western states. Is the Ninth Circuit like 3-4 states? I forget. I know it's California, Oregon, and Washington, at least. Guys, look up what the Ninth Circuit covers, please. Thanks. Just so I tell folks the right thing. But they said it's a hateful symbol. Then they ruled again that people can lose their jobs if their employer doesn't like them wearing an American flag. So it's been ruled a symbol of hate. That's what Trump said last year. No, go ahead.
So hundreds of thousands of our ancestors, and I'm only a third-generation American. My great-grandparents came here to escape the Nazis from Poland.
Wow.
Okay, so anytime I see this Nazi stuff, it's just pure trash. It's pure race baiting. But what they're doing is successfully rewriting history every day. And when they rewrite history, they can control the future.
Sir, I want to be clear. Absolutely. I think we've lost something like 9 million Americans in wars. And so it's about 9 million last time I checked, all total in the last 240 years. But you're absolutely right, sir. And remember, Trump said after Charlottesville they wanted to ban Thomas Jefferson's statue. Trump said the American flag will be next. Well, I'm sure you've heard a lot of Democrats want to remove the flag, sir.
No, I didn't hear that. I was totally unaware that our American flag, our great symbol of national pride, has somehow become intertwined with some kind of racial hatred. It's insane.
Sir, it's the OK symbol. I mean, again, they can project onto anything they want. God bless you. I appreciate your call. You know, even I can't believe this is happening. Yeah, the Ninth Circuit is Washington, Oregon, California, Nevada, Arizona, Utah. Is that Wyoming or Montana? So there you go. In those states, federal courts ruled the American flag is bad. I can't make that up. So, yeah. But, you know, I was kind of honored a year and a half ago when I learned on those videos that they said veterans, the American flag, and Alex Jones. They just said, you see that? You shadow ban them so they can't talk to anybody. And the dumb rednecks never know what hit them. That's a quote. Wow.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
I'm going to go right back to your phone calls here in a few minutes, but I want to hit this Steve Watson story that's really important, that's at Infowars.com and Newswars.com. And again, the only way this article gets out is if you share it on your email, on your text message, and by word of mouth. Next week, we're going to tell folks the next level of censorship that happened to Paul, but I wanted to wait till next week where we got some more intel before we went public with it. I've gotten the intel now confirming what we already knew, but I'm going to wait till next week till you hear this. But Microsoft is announcing their new Word program will watch what you do, record it, and then report back to Microsoft everything you're writing and doing. They're also putting a thing on all the new phones that Microsoft runs called NewsGuard, run by neocons, that watches what you do on your phone in live time. It's in your phone. It's not like when you go to a website, it pops up. It's in your phone. That's been announced. And they've got new apps coming out that universities are making their people get that track everything you do and then reports offensive speech. So the way tyranny works is it doesn't usually do it incremental forever. Incremental, incremental, incremental. But then if it thinks it's losing, it'll jump and go for everything. So the good news is they're jumping and going for broke. The bad news is if we don't respond and really say no, they can win. But they are making some desperate moves. But let me get back to Hillary Clinton. The story's up on InfoWars.com, NewsWars.com. Video. Hypocrite Hillary blames internet conspiracy fetishizing for loss to Trump. And I've got three clips. Now, I was going to air the newscast. That's what I found today. But the crew went and actually found the speech itself without the newscast. But I could do a whole two-hour show, three-hour show just on her hour-long talk. I could do an hour-long show just on the fawning newscast acts like God had sat down in the town. Now, if you don't know about Hillary Clinton and her whole past, it's incredible. But she calls for more censorship by big tech and conservatives. She says she lost the election because of yours truly, internet conspiracies. And she said that when people went to knock on doors for her, they'd say, I can't vote for you. You're a murderer. And she doesn't even really deny that. Now, Hillary, I don't think, has ever killed anybody herself. She just had somebody do it for her. But they set Muammar Gaddafi up, had him come in out of the dark. Obama lied to him. Then they set him up and killed him. And then she went there and bragged, I came, I saw, he died. She then funded the Arab Spring to bring down the whole Middle East and kill hundreds of thousands. We're not going to play that clip first, though. Let's play Madeleine Albright, Secretary of State, when Hillary was co-president with Bill, and she also worked at the State Department, and Madeleine Albright went on national television on NBC and on 60 Minutes CBS. There's two different clips of this. And said, 500,000 dead Iraqi children is a good price to pay. Because if you thought George Herbert Walker Bush put sanctions on Iraq, in the 8 years of the Clintons, they put sanctions on them that killed over 2 million people. Because that's a desert country, 95% of it. They were shipping in their fertilizer, their medicine, everything. So she gets asked about 500,000 kids, and Hillary Clinton's mentor was working for Hillary at the time. Madeleine Albright says it's a good price to pay. Then Hillary goes in front of this crowd of fawning sycophants and wannabe elitist and makes a joke about all this. It's just incredible. Hillary Clinton, you are a murderer. You are a criminal. You've bragged about it. You know it. You're a ruthless person. These are just times you bragged about killing, or your associates bragged about your policies that killed millions. So here it is.
We have heard that 500,000 children have died. I mean, that's more children than died in Hiroshima. And you know, is the price worth it?
I think this is a very hard choice, but the price, we think the price is worth it.
So that's 1996, May 12th. That's Hillary Clinton's buddy and her policies that did this. But then she's Secretary of State many years later, and they go in and use Al-Qaeda and ISIS to take over a country, put women back into sex slavery, kill black Libyans because the Islamists are very anti-black. And then Hillary brags about she came, she saw Gaddafi died. Here it is.
I mean, that is the land of unconfirmed reports.
Yes, we came, we saw, he died.
Did it have anything to do with your visit?
No, I'm sure it did.
So she's bragging about, like Obama said, I'm really good at killing people. So he didn't actually drop the bombs from the Predator drones. He just gives the order, so does she. So let's go to that clip first. Here's Hillary Clinton saying that internet conspiracy theories lost her the election. You mean people knowing about you, lady? I mean, I've interviewed the individuals where the state police came to their house in Arkansas and broke their legs. I know the names of the people you had killed. You carried Oklahoma City, lady. I've had the police officers on the show who had the FBI that worked directly for Eric Holder come to their office and say, we're going to kill you and your wife if you don't shut up. And I looked at a highly decorated Marine Corps veteran, head of their K-9 unit, Don Browning, and he gulped and said the names of the FBI agents and said, I've never said that on air. And I just said, well, we're doubling down here, aren't we? So highly decorated Marine Corps veterans who had the FBI threatened to kill him and his wife not once but twice, had never said the name, said it on the show. I know the names, witch. I know all about it. We've interviewed the witnesses that saw the bombs being placed. We know who did it. So somebody's got to have the will to stand against you. And we do. And our listeners back us. And that's why you fear us. But let's go to her saying she never killed nobody. But like Tony Montana tells the corrupt cop in Scarface, no, you never killed nobody. You just had somebody else do it for you, didn't you? Here it is.
So even though I lived through all those years of ridiculous, baseless attacks and got elected to the Senate, ran against Barack Obama, who turned around and asked me to be his Secretary of State. So people who know me, people who work with me, know that's all baloney. But if you're 10, 20, 30 steps removed, and your Facebook feed is telling you that I'm dying, or whatever their lie is of the day, enough people think, well, you know, that might be true.
Let's stop there again.
So when people,
and that's why Paul's banned, because he, Drudge first asked, before we ever did, years before, because Hillary had brain surgery. Hillary disappeared for 2 years almost. I mean, it was fair game for John McCain or Ronald Reagan. And then she's falling down all the time. And so we said, does she have another brain tumor? Is she really sick? She looks like hell. Whether we were right or wrong as Americans, we have a right to ask that. And people want that asked. But that's why they took us off Facebook. Was Biden said not one but two major brain surgeries. Doctors said he had a 50% chance of recovering the last time. He had part of his brain removed and he was slurring all his words. And we said, has he had another stroke? It got 20 million views on Facebook. Because the public wants to ask questions about that. Let's continue.
Media made a difference. Yes, we do. There's increasing academic research that shows people believed this. The people who were influenced, could be influenced, believed it.
Pause again.
So take me out of the
equation. Yeah, take you out of the equation. No one believes known liars like you anymore. And people know that I legitimately ask questions. Doesn't mean my question's always right. Most of the time it is. I'm asking the same questions our audience is, which, that's why you can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. We're going to come back. I'm going to finish up with this clip, and then I'm going to go to all the callers that have been holding here. We're going to go to Vincent, Doug, Liberty Dog, Wendy, so many others. Anthony, Craig, your calls are all coming up. Stay with us, whatever you do, however you're listening. Remember, the way to overpower them is your word of mouth is unstoppable. Tell folks how they tune in. Infowars.com/show. Thanks for joining us on this live Friday edition. I'm Alex Jones, your host. I want to finish up with Hillary and then try to go to your calls as quickly as possible. I have so much breaking news, too. You'll want to visit InfoWars.com and NewsWars.com so you don't miss any of it. Because we're in a war. People need to know what's happening. So Hillary still won't admit she lost because people don't like her. Madam President. And her fawning minions are up there in New York watching her basically run for president again. She's also in New Hampshire. And so she says yesterday that InfoWars, basically, conspiracies online, cost her the election. She says she wants more censorship. And then she says people go to doors knocking for her in 2016, and people said, oh, I can't be for her. She's a murderer. But I just played you clips of her directly involved in the murder of millions. Here it is.
You know, it's already starting online. You can already begin to see it, and you see what, you know, Ray and Dan Coats and others have been warning us about. It's slowly beginning to bubble. And of course, it's aimed at Democratic candidates. And so you have to be really careful consumers of what you read online, because it's going to happen again. You know, I met with a cybersecurity expert the other day who's, you know, not a political person at all, who said to me, if something is not done, the Russians are going to pick our next president.
Dead pause again. All that's a fraud. All that's a joke. And she just tells you the story. Oh, he's not even political. He says the same thing I say. This woman is a globalist selling the country out. Just thank God her expiration date is almost up. Thank God we have a 75-year lifespan on average. Because this woman is like rotten milk, man. It's time to put her in the garbage can. I don't wish any harm upon her, but just get out of our lives, witch. Good Lord. Russians didn't get Trump elected. The people did, you monster. Let's continue.
Think of what that means. And so the lies, the accusations, the memes. You know, I was at Yale.
Yeah, the free speech.
2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago with John Kerry, and a young Yale faculty came up and he goes, I just have to tell you this. He said, I logged onto YouTube to look at something, and before what I was looking for began to play, there was just this flash, a 10-second flash, about you being a pedophile and the Pizzagate lie. He said, and then it disappeared. And this, you know, young man says to me, he says, I think I'm pretty good on the internet and the computer. I said, I tried to find it. I couldn't find it anywhere. And just think about the impact that one lie, the Pizzagate lie, had.
Hey, pause again. That was a total setup. We had them dead to rights. We had John Podesta, the Aleister Crowley, the rituals, the kids in the hot tub. And then CNN, New York Times, and Washington Post all targeted the pizza place they all went to make everybody cover that like a mockingbird acts like its wings broken. So that you go away from the nest. I mean, lady, your own deputy chief of staff got busted trying to ship kids out of Haiti. Your first job was being a lawyer for convicted pedophiles. I mean, the whole system, Harvey Weinstein, everything you do is about that. You're a monster. Hollywood sexualizing children. All this. And so she just brings this up. Continue.
A stolen email about a little fundraiser at a little pizza place that the Russians and their allies, including, I would argue, people online who were promoting Trump.
Who's she talking about?
Took and made into a weaponized attack to the point that a disturbed young man in North Carolina got in his car and drove to this little pizza place.
Hey, pause again. So you lied about WMDs and millions died. And you did all this other stuff and all the other. But some crazy guy went in a pizza place because CNN said go to the pizza place. And then you said that I said go to the pizza place. Let's continue.
His AR-15 and went into it looking for the children that were kept chained in the basement. Now, there was no basement. There were no children. That goes without saying. He shot up the place before he was apprehended.
And pause. Actually, I talked to everybody involved. No one ever really said that happened. We just heard that one shot. The guy's an actor, too. True's a great guy. Let's continue.
His consequences. Think of the manifestos, the crazy manifestos written by the killer in New Zealand. The killer just past weekend over Passover in California.
Oh, hey, pause. Don't mention the girl transitioning to a man in Colorado. You know, don't mention that. It's just all crazy. There's all this death. A few deaths here, a few deaths there. That's all your fault, but not Hillary's. No. She's good.
This kind of conspiracy, fetishizing, the lies, it has real-world consequences. Oh. So we've got to figure it out.
Pause again. Back it up. Yeah, real-world consequences. You don't get elected. You're a monster. You're in bed with the Russians, the Chi-Coms, everybody else. You're a globalist. You're anti-American. You're done. You're over. You're not in power anymore. You're over. But you watch the newscast, man. They were acting like Jesus Christ set down. Continue.
Stand up against it. But, you know, I sleep well at night because, look, I testified for 11 hours. What do I care?
All right. In interest of taking your phone calls, I'm not going to get to the other clips. Hillary Clinton says Republicans must choose between rule of law and rule of Trump. She's the one that's all illegal servers, rigging everything, controlling Loretta Lynch, the head of Justice Department, and just all, we'd have to list it all. In the other clip, Hillary says Fox News is rotting people's brains and talks about censorship. We're just going to go to your phone calls instead. And I got so much more we haven't gotten to yet. Surprise, surprise, as Goldman Powell would say, top Sanders advisor convicted of embezzling union funds. That's what leftists do. They get control of your town or city, your school, your university, your club, and they rob it. That's what his wife does. It's what he does. It's what these criminals do. They rob people, period. Briefly, X2, you've got to learn why it's so powerful with a free bottle of X3 that's amazing. 25% off the X2, get a free bottle of X3. That ends early next week, so we're running low on X2. We'll get more in for about 2 months, so we'll go back to regular price for a couple months until the new stuff comes in. InfoWarsLive.com. Experience it for yourself, ladies and gentlemen. And the new highest quality B12 on the market from our research. There may be something better, but this is the best we know of. That's Ultra 12, double the methylcobalamin, the highest quality B12 out there. No reviews yet because it just came out this week. It's amazing. It's 50% off Ultra 12 out of the gates. Okay. All right. I'm going to go to your calls now. Each caller gets about a minute or two because I'm waiting for the next person. Who should we go to next? Who's been holding the longest here? Doug in New York. Doug, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hello. I just want to say that we all recognize the trouble that we're in right now. We're really in big trouble.
That's right.
And I've got a very serious story I wish to share with the audience. And I want to preface that by saying that God has declared that he is a present help in time of trouble. And if we are to be obedient to the Lord and we really want to be empowered to fight this,
we have to call on God.
We have to call on God. We have to repent of our sins and be baptized in Jesus' name according to Acts 2:38 as Peter baptized in Jesus' name.
No, I agree. I've had the globalists tell me off record, and people say, well, why don't you say who they are? It's off record. They just said, stop saying Jesus Christ. Stop saying God. Just leave it alone. Just let us do what we want with the kids. Just accept radical Islam, and I won't do it. So you go ahead, folks. If people are called by my name and seek my face and repent, I'll heal their land. So go ahead and tell us.
Okay, so everyone should take a look at consumerrightsnow.org, consumerrightsnow.org. Now, this is a story about a friend of mine of many years named Tyrone Holmes, who just simply bought an Apple MacBook Pro with his credit card through Amazon. And he got the MacBook Pro delivered, and he signed up for Apple Care to make sure he had the right protection on the computer. And then he's using it for 90 days, for 3 months. And then all of a sudden he discovers he's being spied on everything he does. And then while he's conducting a funeral, he's a music minister in Harlem, he gets a phone call from the NYPD wanting him to come forward and that he has a stolen computer, and they want him to surrender it, or he's going to go to jail for 4 years. Can you imagine this? So what happened was that they hounded him for a whole month because he couldn't find the computer quick enough.
Hold on, stay there. Yeah, we'll explain to people. This is what it's like. These computers are all two-way windows. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Okay, Alex Jones here, back live. Doug in New York wanted to talk about spy tech story, big tech censorship. You know, we talk about spy tech 20 years ago, 10 years ago. People laugh at us because, oh, America doesn't do that. That never happened. Now it's all admitted. So finishing up your story real quick here, Doug, in New York, what happened to your friend?
So what happened was they got with him and hounded him until the computer was found. Now, keep in mind, he's in federal court with this case now. This is Apple, Amazon, NYPD, and this big Defense Department pump company that has secret technology for oil pumping and deals with rigs all over the world. And this computer was supposedly bound for Dubai. So this is like an international espionage story. And I would appreciate if anybody going to that website of consumerrightsnow.org that they have an ability to help donate to this.
No. I hear you. We'll look into the story. I appreciate your call, Doug. I appreciate that. We'll try to find out more about that. Okay, let's go to another caller here. Let's go ahead and talk to Liberty Dog in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. You're on the air, Liberty Dog. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Alex Jones, thank you, and God bless you for everything you've been doing.
fighting up against the cabal and in defiance of the cabal and saying who they serve. I've been taking some action the last year in my own community here. I basically, you know, out of frustration with all the censorship and all the lies, and I just been waving my flag every Friday morning. I call it Freedom Flag Friday. I get out there on a really busy street corner, 8 to 9 a.m. every Friday. I put it on my Facebook page. I call my local radio station, who pretty much tries to censor me, but on Fridays they let you call in, you know, and talk about whatever you want. I try to get about 30 seconds in, and he shuts me down. But basically, it's been a great response. It started out as like a social experiment, but really, it's, you know, kind of getting my frustrations out, just doing my thing. But it's been really great. Of course, there's a lot of people being triggered by the flag. Like one of your callers said, now, you know, the flag's being censored on YouTube. And some people come and give me the finger, and they give me the thumbs down, which is really ironic because all I'm doing is waving the flag out there. And but I guess,
well, that shows how the globalists are taking the country over, and they've gotten a certain percentage, maybe 10% of the public, to really hate America. I mean, I think it's conservatively 10%. You go into college, maybe 20%. You go into a leftist area, maybe half. And again, they believe they're the ruling class. They believe they're about to have total power over everyone.
Yeah, and I also used to talk about other symbols, you know, the OK sign. That's also the three percenter sign, right? People hold up the three fingers, the three percenter sign. So I've been doing that, too. So
yeah, so don't let people keep you from what symbols you want to use. You know what your symbols mean. You know what they stand for you. And this idea to pre-block symbols before you can use them is the desperateness of the establishment just to stop speech.
Yeah. You know what the biggest symbol, though, that people cannot figure out is a smile and a wave. They haven't figured that one out yet. They're like, hey, this guy's waving the flag. He's got a big smile on his face. Sometimes I wear my MAGA hat, and I wave to every single car that goes by. My buddy Rich, a few of my friends have come and joined me every once in a while. My friend Nancy, she's come out a few times. And I started a YouTube channel. I got about 30 subscribers now, Liberty Dog 1776, and started a Twitter feed. But you know what? I'm being defiant out there, but I'm doing it in a good way. And people can't, they can't fight that.
No, that's so beautiful. Let me ask you this question. Time. Do you get flipped off when you just have the American flag, or is it when you have the Make America Great Again hat, too?
You know what? It's funny. I just had my coming out with the MAGA hat two weeks ago, so I've only done it twice. I've been doing this for over a year now, Alex. And before I even brought the MAGA hat out, people were giving me – I mean, those are
sure.
Few and far between.
So they were getting mad at the flag. Well, that shows how delusional they are. God bless you, brother. Great job. Keep it up. All right. More calls. We're back in 60 seconds. I'm going to go right to more of your calls. Write your calls, Craig and Anthony and so many others. Bam, bam, bam. Get ready. Start your engines. We're going to be right back.
It's 2 a.m.
I've got a tiger by the tail. It's plain to see. I won't be much when you get through with me.
He never gives up. He's Alex Jones, broadcasting from deep in the heart of Texas, worldwide.
Facebook and Instagram banned conspiracy theorist Alex Jones.
I am now completely banned.
Now, InfoWars, of course, is that web show and website led by rageaholic Alex Jones.
I want them shut down. I want them silenced. I want them muted. I think they are horrible for our society.
These people aren't terrifying or anything.
But there's also guys on CNN that spend their whole day calling Facebook and saying, can you ban this person?
These are very extreme individuals, and no matter what anyone tells you, they are extremists, and that's why Facebook decided to get rid of them. Basically, they've deemed these individuals to be dangerous, is what Facebook is saying. Those individuals include people like right-wing conspiracy theorist Alex Jones.
Organizations like Media Matters have pointed out consistently how Alex Jones and other InfoWars pages had just simply circumvented any ban by starting a different account or going on Instagram.
If you don't like someone on Facebook, don't follow them. It's not that hard to figure out.
Facebook, are you going to do something about the liberals who call me the N-word?
No, because big tech is only interested in going after conservatives. You know, the really dangerous ones.
Dangerous as in saying things that Mark Zuckerberg doesn't like.
President Trump retweeted Paul Joseph Watson twice and a brief video by InfoWars' Millie Weaver. Social media's hall monitor, Brad Stelter, was not very happy about it.
He is promoting the same alternative universe as InfoWars.
Back to your point, though, about the InfoWars presidency, I want to know, and I tweeted this the other day, what is the difference at this point between Trump's Twitter feed and InfoWars.com?
InfoWars content is useful to him. InfoWars personalities align with him.
I want them shut down. I want them silenced. I want them muted. I think they are horrible for our society.
I want them shut down. I want them silenced. I want them muted.
But don't worry. These people aren't terrifying or anything.
InfoWars, the most banned network in the world.
What's all the fuss about? Why do they want us off air? Because we have the spirit of victory, the spirit of being alive, being pro-human. All right, I've got stacks of news that just broke at InfoWars.com and NewsWars.com. I've got tons of incredible clips, but I'm taking your calls on this Friday. That's what we're doing right now. We'll cover a ton of news at the bottom of the hour, and I'll continue with calls after that. But right now, we are taking your phone calls. All right, Anthony in New Jersey. We're going to the order as the calls are received. Thanks for holding. Anthony in New Jersey.
Hey, Alex, what's up, man?
I love talking to you, brother. What's on your mind today?
Oh, thanks, man. Well, I just want to say I'm a longtime listener. I've been listening for about 10 years. Endgame and Obama deception really helped me wake up, and I kind of passed that torch around my family. So I really appreciate the things that you guys are doing.
Thank you, brother.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit about measles outbreak that's happening here in New Jersey. And New York.
I haven't even gotten to that yet. You know, Europe has thousands of cases now. So does the U.S. And I have a stack of mainstream news admitting it's the illegal aliens.
Yeah, like, I agree with that to a sense. But I also know that and this is by no means anti-Semitic. But I know that it's coming from Israel as well, because I live close to Lakewood, which would be the highest Orthodox Jew population in the United States.
No, I mean, they admit that it's some of the main outbreaks in the Orthodox Jewish area because they follow Leviticus and don't want to put the dead baby parts in them. And a lot of the vaccines are grown on dead baby tissue.
Right. So my main concern is not necessarily where it's coming from. It's also like how they're trying to force vaccines now.
Oh, I'm very concerned, sir. I'm very concerned. Yes, sir.
It's extending way past Orthodox Jewish religions and such, and now they're trying to make sure that everybody is getting vaccinated for this MMR. And that's, I mean, even going as far as making it mandated.
Yep. Well, it's not really mandated. They're lying. It's a fraud. It's all color of law, and it's all big pharma doing this because they have hundreds of vaccines they want you to take. 50 years ago, it was like four or five vaccines. Now it's hundreds. And did you know that vaccine makers have liability protection? Did you know they're not tested for safety? Did you know that?
No, I didn't, actually.
We've got an article on InfoWars.com that's got posters we printed up so people can print them off and post them in your area. And it just simply says, vaccines can kill. They have no liability. They have no safety testing. Read the insert that comes with it. Humanity won't submit. Here's how you can strike back against censorship. $5,000 prize. Don't have the money to do these contests these days, but I'm still going to do it. It's a month-long contest. Videotape it. Put it on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. Get it out there. Make your own poster. Pick one of our posters. Get it out there. Videotape it. Get it in legal and lawful areas. 5,000 first place. 1,000 second place. I think $500 third place. Thank you so much, sir. I appreciate your call, Anthony. Yeah, it's a big deal. The forced inoculation is a big, big deal. But the measles, mumps, rubella shot never protects you anyways. They admit folks that have been vaccinated are the ones that are all getting sick. So here's the thing. If you've been vaccinated, how am I bad for not taking it if you're supposedly protected? All right, let's go to Craig in Louisiana. Craig, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Alex, let me just say, it's an honor to be able to speak to you.
It's an honor to talk to you, brother. What's on your mind?
And if I can just say real quickly, for the longest time, my mother tried to get me to listen to you. I thought she was nuts. I thought you were nuts. But let me say right before the election, I actually took me, my wife,
and our unborn child, we tried to go out there to go to your production studio, because that's one thing that's on my bucket list. So I still hope one day you can do a meet and greet, and me and the whole family, that we can all meet with you. That's on my bucket list. Meet with you, and meet with the president. So what's on my mind?
Well, I'd love to meet with you too, brother. You know, and I'm not bragging, but even when I'm under the weather, I'm up here on the air. It's just that I'm working all the time. But I would love to be able to meet the listeners more often.
Do it soon. And so the reason I called is you were talking about Comey. I think it's a symptom of TDS. So what really needs to happen is the president, I hope him or maybe one of his, or maybe someone in his cabinet is listening today and every day, really, because everything you do and everything that we do as a people, as a country, it's so important. But sure.
So what does the White House need to do to Comey? Because he's saying we're going to indict the president after he's not the president. This is a disgraced criminal that lied to Congress, that got caught perjuring himself. So what do you think should be done to Comey?
It's sickening. So three things. One, he needs to enact laws that say no more censorship. We're being banned. I was banned for life on Twitter. We need to put it to an end. Banking accounts, et cetera. Second, the border needs to be shut down immediately. I lost my cousin, since then we moved out here. But I can tell you, it has to end.
Well, God bless you, Craig. We're going to jump on to other calls, but thank you for your call. Vincent in Boston, you're on the air. Thanks for holding. Go ahead, Vincent.
Thank you, sir.
God bless.
College professors have waged a war of attrition upon the culture of our nation. And Alex, I'm only 19 and a college student, but at school I see firsthand a generation of young adults being indoctrinated in a cult-like manner to perverse ideologies such as total multiculturalism, moral relativism, and Satanism. And there are posters at my Roman Catholic college that say, you must be tolerant of Islam, paganism, and Wiccan witchcraft, or else. And the left doesn't even hide their evil anymore. Just look to the governor of Virginia, who's proud about slaughtering these already born babies. Young conservatives are afraid to speak out today because we know we will be targeted if we do. And in the classroom, professors will brutally chastise students such as myself.
Well, listen, you're obviously on fire. I'm going to hold you over, Vincent, so you can finish up. But you're right. We're under assault. The left-hand path is making its move. You see nationalists fighting back worldwide, but it's not enough. We have to get very aggressive. Conservatives can't just sit back and do defense. We've got to go on offense politically.
Correct. And kids today in the colleges are forced to submit to the brainwashing if they want to succeed academically, which is ironic.
So a lot of them go into Stockholm Syndrome, and instead of being secretive and just being a leftist to pass, they actually become a leftist.
Yes, and a residual effect of this indoctrination is what I call the milquetoast generation that needs safe spaces from disagreement and intelligent thought. And that's why we're seeing all these hypersexualized, violent men and women who believe it's their way or the highway. And I have one last...
Hold on. Stay there, Vincent. You're on fire. I want to hear this. We're taking a lot of calls today, like I said I would. We're already 20-plus calls in. Stay with us.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones.
Not this segment, but next segment, I'm going to talk about the tactical rabbi in the LA Times actually going into synagogues and teaching people that you need to have armed security here. It's okay for you to have guns. And the left is learning and actually getting guns. That's how we're going to beat the globalist plan for domestication. It was armed people that stopped the killer last week who would have killed probably dozens. Only killed a few people, thank God. I mean, not glad they killed a few people, but thank God it was only a few, not a whole bunch. That's what we're talking about here. So that's coming up. And your calls continue. I'm being a good boy. I'm taking a lot of calls. Vincent in Boston, you were making some really good points. Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. And very quickly, and I'll hang up. My message to you and the listeners is that although the liberals may have the loudest voices in the room, I promise there's many, many good conservative young adults out there, and we are the silent majority. So please do not lose hope. Keep defending traditionalism because hell awaits. And, sir, I'd like to leave you with a quote by the great Dante, who said that the darkest places in hell are reserved for those who maintain their neutrality in times of moral crisis. So God bless you, Alex.
God bless you. Yes, I've read Dante's Inferno. Everybody should read it. Real literature. Thank you so much. A lot of folks read Dante and think it's like the Bible or something. But it's fiction, but it's very powerful. But it deals with real things that go on in the world. Okay, we're just going to the order of the calls received here. Let us now go ahead and take a call from Mike in New Jersey. You're on the air. Thanks for calling, Mike.
Alex, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Thanks for calling.
You are the man, Alex. I'm so glad to be talking to you. I'm so excited. I'm such a big fan. So I first got into InfoWars about 4 years ago because I'm a huge Megadeth fan. And you had Dave Mustaine on for a great long interview. And I don't know if you do those anymore, but I thought that was a great idea. I wish you'd do that again. And
yeah, no, I like Dave Mustaine. He wanted me to go on tour with him. He wanted me to write his last three albums with him. And I really like Dave. I'm sure he's going to write really great albums without me. But if you listen to his music the last 10 years, it's basically InfoWars. So he's a daily listener. I really like Dave Mustaine.
I know, and I like both of you guys. God bless both of you guys. I love you guys both. Let me say this, too. Ever since I've been listening, I've been buying your products. I gotta do a shout-out for the bone broth. Tastes like a great milkshake. You know, if you just add it to milk, I feel great since I've been taking it. My daughter uses the bubble gum. Fluoride-free toothpaste. I've used the Super Male Vitality, a host of other products. So thank you so much for that as well.
Brother, you're thanking me for buying the products and keeping us on air. I'm thanking you. But yes, this is the ultimate bone broth formula. The media picked up making a joke about it, me saying it tastes good with mixed with like different fruits and milk. It tastes okay in a blender with milk or water. I don't recommend you do it with a spoon. Like Vice did, because it's so thick you can't do it. But the turmeric, the chaga mushroom, the true bone broth, it is next level. It really is good, so thank you.
I feel great since I've been taking it. Thank you. So the reason I'm calling today is because I know you've been playing that clip of Anna Navarro a lot, you know, talking about how they basically want to deperson you and just, you know, make you just disappear. And that's horrible. But there's something subtle that takes place on that clip that I haven't heard a lot of people mentioning. And that's Joy Behar right before her saying, we've been noticing, quote unquote, excesses in the First and Second Amendment. And I just wanted to say how shrewd the globalists are, because I know that The View is just a globalist platform. It's the mouthpiece. And how shrewd they are to use these subtleties to try to delimit our rights, and how effective it's been. And I just wanted to see if you could maybe speak to who is at the top, who's controlling these mouthpieces and giving them their marching orders, because it's obviously...
No, that's it. Let me get to that. Thank you for the call. Great points, Mike. Here's Navarro on The View.
Shut down. I want them silenced. I want them muted. I think they are horrible for our society.
She thinks it's horrible, so she decides it won't be on air. And so the caller was asking, what's behind this? I mean, this, I wouldn't even call it subtle. I mean, you're right. Joy Behar is subtle compared to Navarro. She's like, oh, we have excesses in the Second and First Amendment. This is just insane. They want to take you off air so they can lie about what you said. 99% of the time when they say things I've said or done, they won't show it. And now that they think I'm deplatformed, now that they think I'm not on all these systems, I'm still on hundreds of radio and TV stations and InfoWars.com and NewsWars.com, but now that they think I'm off air, now it's the white supremacist thing, which nobody buys. Everybody knows that's just political. It's lies. Except they use it then in banking and in life. And that's why I've got to file suit against these groups that are doing this. Not because I want to, not because I even have the money to do it, but because this is going to happen to you next. This is the system. So everybody's been called a racist. Everybody's been called a white supremacist. Everybody's been lied about. And now that they think I'm not on these platforms, they are, I mean, I wonder what they're going to make up next. And again, I'm not a victim. I don't feel sorry for myself. I'm just simply blown away that they're this criminal. It was on NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN. It was on every channel that I knew of. when they deplatformed me last year, that Alex Jones called for killing members of the media. There was no clip. There was no video. Why would I say that? A, I disagree with that. B, it's illegal. And they asked Jack Dorsey, you haven't banned him yet. You're the last guy. But he said, get battle rifles ready and kill the media. And Dorsey goes, I saw that. I'm still going to keep him up. It's all just a stunt. And then he banned me. So let me explain this. Speech isn't about saying what you want to say. Mm-mm. That's the side issue. Speech is about standing up to liars when they lie about you. So imagine having your arms, your legs tied, and your mouth gagged. Imagine they wheel you out in a gladiatorial event, and you're tied to the front of a forklift. And out walks Brian Stelter, Ed Navarro, Hillary Clinton, and they pull out swords, and they just shove them in your guts, and everybody claps. And you're gagged, and you're bleeding, and there's big teleprompters flashing, hooray, death blow. I mean, the archetype of how cowardly this is, the archetype of how ridiculous this is. How did they ever get the left to be so evil? I mean, I watch these videos of Caitlin Bennett and Millie Weaver on these universities, and Owen Schroyer as well, who just walked in. That's Travis, but he just got back as well. And these leftists just come right up and they say, we're going to shut you up. I'd like to see you in jail. And our crew are nice to them. They say, listen, America. And they go, you know what? F America. And F you too. We've seen the videos. And we're like, but that's dangerous. F you, I run things now. You don't run anything. You don't run Jack. If we wanted to be authoritarian, you'd be done, and you know it. And that's the thing is, you're just really pushing it. You're really pushing it. You want that physical confrontation to make your bones. Yeah, you'll find out. Friday, 1:33 Central Standard Time Global, as we broadcast live. I'll return this Saturday. Live transmission not announced yet. The time of. And then Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central. Owen Schroyer, it's coming up 3 o'clock. We're going to have Dr. Nick Begich with us next hour. Your phone call's just a few minutes away. But let's hit some of the breaking news that just came in seconds ago. No, I'm not talking about the tactical rabbi helped synagogues defend against anti-Semitic violence. I'm going to get to that in a moment. I'm talking about this breaking news out of the New York Times. Mueller won't testify next week, says House Judiciary Chair reports. Nadler, a.k.a. the Hamburglar, says U.S. Special Counsel Robert Mueller III will not testify before committee next week. The Democratic chairman of the House Judiciary Committee told reporters on Friday, according to many reports. Chairman Jared Nadler said he hopes he does not have to subpoena Mr. Mueller to appear before lawmakers, but that he would issue if necessary, adding that negotiations are continuing, Bloomberg, Fox, and other outlets reported. Let's translate that for everybody right here. I'm going to explain this again. Everyone keeps building up Bob Barr like he's the Lily Whites, as John Goodman says in The Big Lebowski, the Whites. I know a lot of people that I've talked to that worked under Barr. They say he's a by-the-book guy and that he's not anti-American. But let's just not lie to each other. He helped cover up Iran-Contra, which is fighting a bunch of communists. So, I mean, overall, that's nothing compared to the Clintons. And I'm not defending it. The point is that he came in to cover up the attempted coup on Trump, to clean it up, and to get the deep state to stop it. And the Mueller report does that. So the fact that Mueller is now refusing to testify shows you that. If they give out that whole redacted report, it burns the illegal spies. It burns the whole system. And notice I said that months ago. Now they're saying it in the news this week. So this just shows the Democrats are crazy. It's like they've got a pea shooter and Trump's got a howitzer cannon, and they're not stopping, which shows mental illness. They're like impeachment and all these investigations when he's got them with illegal spying. He's got them with trying to overturn the election. He's got them with paying off their families with the Fusion GPS money. He's got them. He's got them leaking to the media illegally. He's got them perjuring themselves to Congress, which is illegal. But they've been in power so long that they think they're still invincible because it worked in the past. They don't quit. So that's really your takeaway. Mueller cancels testimony in desperate bid to protect deep state. Not the deep state of Donald Trump. Donald Trump's barely got any control of the government yet. And if down the road some of Trump's appointees became a government unto themselves, I'd oppose them. No, the dug-in government like ticks you're trying to pull out of your body. You ever gone hiking around the woods or camping and you get home and you're taking a shower and you're like, what's that down there? And like right down underneath your huevos is a tick. You're like trying to get that sucker out of there. And they're burrowed in. They got their heads in. They're holding on like they're riding bucking broncos. This is an incredible time to be alive. An absolutely amazing time. But the fact that Mueller has canceled his testimony shows the jig is up. And Trump, you know why Mueller did this, right? Bob Barr's telling him, we've got all the FISA stuff. We've got the FISA Inspector General. We've got the Justice Department Inspector General. We got all the emails, all the text messages, all the perjury to Congress. We've got all the admissions. And Trump is going to declassify it. If you don't, leave him alone. You're not dealing with your average swamp creature that's scared. He hasn't done anything. You don't have anything on him. He likes confrontation. Stop it. Back down. For the good of the country, quit. We should have had a president stood up to China and didn't have one-side deals. We should have had a president stood up to Mexico. You know, Ann Coulter's thing is, oh my gosh, we've got double the record flooding us. That's the plan. That's why the UN's funding the assault on our borders and our ICE. Is to crush Trump, is to crush us. That's the plan. You don't blame Trump for it. And again, I'm not bashing Ann Coulter. I get her point. Get on Trump's ass. He may declare the real national emergency, and he should. But I read her articles. She doesn't really point that out. She just shows us what a purist she is, that she's there and, you know, Trump, oh, yeah, it's 3D chess. Yeah, I told you a lot of times, with Trump, there's no 3D chess. It's called being pragmatic. It's called what makes sense and what can he get done. But he's not out to get you. He likes the country. He likes himself. He likes his family. And he doesn't like a future in America where half the country's burning in race war. He doesn't like a future in America where everybody's too poor to go to his golf courses. He is the service economy. And he wants people to be successful. That isn't some ass-kissing exercise because the president tweets my stuff or likes the show. It's because I've been persecuted for supporting Trump that I support him even more virulently would be the word for the establishment. So take opioids. Opioid use is now way down. Just a year and a half after Trump launches operation against that. Some numbers are 80%. Some numbers are 70%. Opioid prescription rates tumble. And latest sign, Trump-led crackdown is working. There's enough pills prescribed last year to give every adult in the United States 34 pills throughout that year. But now Trump's cut it massively. Depending on the numbers you look at, 43 to 90%, doesn't matter. The point is, Trump's trying. Instead of just greasing the skids for the collapse of our civilization. Now let's shift gears to this. You've got synagogues and churches being targeted by lunatics and Islamists and others. And I don't care whether you're a mosque in this country. I don't care if you're a synagogue. I don't care if you're a Baptist church, Catholic church. Obviously, these are targets, the way the media hypes them, for crazy people to go after them. And so it's refreshing to even see the LA Times talk about shocking the tactical rabbi pulling out an AR-15 and teaching people how to defend themselves and saying it's your right and your duty to do it. That is a fundamental shift instead of people just being victims. It was 45 minutes into the lecture when the rabbi pulled out his AR-15. Who thinks by show of hands that we should be carrying more guns? Rabbi Roselle Cohen asked the crowd of Westside Shabbat Synagogue Wednesday night during an active shooter seminar organized in the wake of the deadly attack. Half the room raised their hands. And then it just goes into him explaining to them about guns, good guys versus bad guys, what needs to be done. All right. I've got a bunch of news about open borders and diseases spreading in the country that I want to get to. And I've got your phone calls as well. And I want to go to those. And I've got some really important articles here about creepy tech oligarchs want to dictate your opinions. We're going to hit those and more. But first, the system doesn't like me because I'm promoting independence and individuals being strong. But at the end of the day, as society unravels, there's no excuses that stand up to the reality of the fact that we have to be prepared. And I know I've been on the air 24 years. A lot of people just consider it that we'll always be here. But I'll tell you straight. With all the censorship and all the attacks and all the boycotts and all the lawsuits, in the last few months, it's been hard for us to continue on our course here. And the mere fact that Ultra 12, after almost 6 months of not having any vitamin B12, came in and people are buying it, put us back in the black just for the last few months. So I want to just tell you folks, it's nip and tuck. We need your support. I don't want to be nip and tuck. Go to InfoWarsStore.com, get the coffee, get the B12, get the protein bars, get the books, get the videos, get whatever it is you need, and know that without you, we won't be here. But whatever you do, pray for us, and I'll pray for you. Thank you for your support from the bottom of my heart. You are the InfoWar. Don't thank me. I thank you. Don't thank me. I thank you. Remember what I told you. World government didn't exist. Remember what I told you.
Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Remember when they told you your cell phones weren't spying on you? Remember when they told you the Church of Satan wouldn't try to be in your local school? Remember when they told you the vaccines didn't cause any harm? Remember when they lied to you? It's a very small group of evil people. And the sooner we start waking up and saying no to them, the sooner we start turning this planet around. Out of all the sites out there, out of all the shows, there's nothing like InfoWars. There's nothing like News Wars. There's nothing like this syndicated radio TV show other than DrudgeReport.com. And I wish it was multimedia. I wish Matt Drudge was on the air every day. I'd tune in. That's a smart guy. But we're here and we're fighting hard and we're setting the agenda worldwide. You are, I am, all of us together. We're not on a power trip when we say that. It's very, very humbling. But it's the truth. The voice in the wilderness out of Texas. Not in New York, not in L.A., not in London, not in Frankfurt or Berlin or Paris or Tokyo or Beijing or Durban or Mexico City or Calcutta, but here. And the system doesn't like it because they've tracked that everything they've done, their whole agenda is being opposed now. The old days, they deny it existed. Now they just say, well, we need people to take people off the air that don't want this system. All right, who's been holding the longest here? Oh, my gosh, Eric in Colorado. Eric, thanks for holding. I really appreciate you. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I really appreciate you, and it's an honor to talk to you. And I do, before I start, I have three different ideas I wanted to shoot by you, but I also wanted to do a plug for a couple of your products that I really love. Changed my life. The DNA Force is one, and X2. I do a lot of construction, and we using the tools that you're using, it just really wreaks havoc on your body. And I had three of my fingers starting to go numb, and I didn't think there was anything going to work on it. And I tried your DNA Force a couple weeks later, started feeling that the numbness going away and tingling coming back. And then now I'm full use of my hand. It's great. And just can't thank you enough for what you do. Just in the fight for liberty.
Well, thank you, brother. I mean, we want to sell you stuff that works. You want to order it again. But PQQ CoQ10 has been proven to make telomeres last longer, to make nerves regrow. It really is an amazing product for anybody above 40. Young people can take it as well. But, yes, DNA Force Plus is amazing. What did you think of the X2?
I love that, too. You know what I have to say is, like, after a few months of being on that, I felt like I wasn't searching for words. You know, there was a time in my life where I felt like, man, I don't know if I'm just too exhausted or what, but, you know, you feel like you want to get in a conversation and you're pausing and you can't find the word to say. And I swear, man, that X2 really helps with cognition.
Well, that's because the synapses in the brain operate off of it. It's electrochemical. You're absolutely right. When I forget to take X2 every couple of days, sometimes I forget for like a week because I get busy. Then I feel it, and I take it, and it really is amazing. So thank you for the support, brother. What is your view on solutions and spreading the word?
Well, one thing, you know, this goes along with your shirt promotion where you're talking about, you know, don't California my Texas, don't California my USA and all. And, you know, right now I'm looking online right now at properties in Texas because I think patriots need to move to Texas. There's a book out right now by Lieutenant Colonel Alan West called Hold Texas, Hold the Nation, and I feel like maybe you could put a call out to patriots, because you know what? We love you. And there's a lot of us out here, and, you know,
By the way, I like Alan West. I didn't know he had a book about Hold Texas, Hold the Nation.
Name of it, yeah.
Wow.
And I feel like if we can't hold Texas, we're going to lose this nation. And, you know, even if you live in a beautiful state like Colorado, maybe I can move back here one day. But you know what? The first thing we got to do is actually hold Texas, because if we can't keep it red and keep it from going blue, like you were saying in 2024, then we're going to lose this whole thing.
And by the way, let's be clear. They bring in millions of illegal aliens who aren't even bad people on average, but they're here illegally. No one's reaching out to them but Democrats that shipped them here and control them with welfare now. So automatically they're being set up as the voting block. It is a criminal takeover. It must be stopped. I hope we can save Texas. I tell you, the average Texan thinks everything's okay, and Texas will never. No, Texas is in a lot of trouble.
And I think so. And that's why I think, like, maybe you ought to put a call for patriots to move there. And the second tier goes right along with what you were saying, is I think there's a multi-tiered thing we should do is, patriots need to move to Texas, and two, there needs to be an outreach. We need to start reaching out to Spanish-speaking people and try to really say, hey, you want to embrace the American way, and you really want to, if you want to escape where you came from, you don't want to create it here. So, you know what, you need to embrace the American way. You need to, and you know, I know lots of Mexicans, lots of Spanish-speaking people, not just Mexicans, but they're some of the hardest working people I know. And
exactly, you know, but they've got leftists trying to control them and be their boss, like Alexandria Cortez. And the city of Austin has now announced it's adopting her green plan that will bankrupt any city. Thank you, Eric. Great points. Speaking of Alexandria Cortez, Mike in South Carolina is up next. Mike, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
I can.
I feel like we need to take her and them serious because they're all saying it. At this point, I take it as a threat.
Sure. I'm having trouble understanding exactly what you're saying. Maybe your phone's breaking up. Go ahead and say what you were saying again. We just dropped. His call just dropped. Okay. Wendy in Ohio. Wendy, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey. Hi. Allegedly, Laura Loomer, investigative journalist, cannot eat or get an Uber. And today is the day of the Uber IPO. And so it's very important for us to remember, remember that there is a problem with that, that everybody needs to consider that Uber is not a company, it's a political organization.
Well, that's right. Uber lost $1 billion last year. It's very monopolistic. It spies on people. It sells your data. And it wants driverless cars to take over for regular people. It's real. Laura Loomer, many others, can't get Airbnbs. They can't get Uber Eats. They're using their database on you to abuse you. They're another arrogant, out-of-control, leftist group. And I think everybody should do whatever they can to try to punish Uber.
I got to go. I'll call back again sometime.
All right. Thank you so much, Wendy. All right. Let's talk to Kat in Arizona. Kat, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for all your hard work.
Thank you.
All right, so I'm just going to say this. In late 1900s, early 2000s, I was working as a networking engineer in New Hampshire at an Air Force base, and I was chemically doused with a chemical that's now in our water supply. A guy that called in the other day mentioned it. It's called PFAS, but they keep changing the name. The actual original name of it was C8, which it gave a lot of people in Ohio cancer during the 40s and 50s. I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
But the media is covering it up, okay? You'll see an article every once in a while that they're downplaying it. I can tell you it's a killer. It gets into the cells of your body, and it attacks your immune system. Your body cannot break it down. Your liver and kidneys do not break this chemical down. This chemical is extremely dangerous. I drank it in huge amounts, huge quantities, so I've gotten a lot of diseases, and I've been fighting it. But I just want people to know out there that this is happening, and I think this is a eugenics thing, because this crosses all barriers, crosses religion, crosses race.
Well, how are you contaminated in the military?
Well, I wasn't even a military personnel. I was a network engineer for a company in New Hampshire. And they put this company on a ex-Superfund site. Okay, that's the other thing. They were supposed to wait 10 years before they put any companies on there. They put companies on there after 8 years. I was drinking the water out of the water fountain. This was in New Hampshire, so I thought, you know, the water tastes pretty good.
Oh, yeah. You know? Listen, everybody's got to filter their water. There's Superfund sites and toxic waste everywhere. Good Lord. Ma'am, I'm sorry to hear that. Anything else, Kat?
No, I just want you to know this has been in the water since the 40s. So everybody's been exposed to this chemical. You need to filter your water, and it's getting worse. If you go online, you can Google it. It's everywhere, and everybody's getting it, and it'll make you really sick.
Yes, ma'am. All right, thank you so much. All right, we're going to go to break. We're going to come back with a few more calls, and then I'm going to have Dr. Nick Begich, who's always super informative, really smart guy, take over. Then the weekend's here, Mother's Day, but I'll be back this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central. Owen Schroyer, in about an hour and 3 minutes, will be live with The War Room, 3 p.m. Central. And please, you are the most hardcore focused audience in the world. You're the people that care to tune in and go past the censors and find the broadcast. If you don't tell people about it, if you don't tell people to go to Infowars.com/show, if you don't grab the clips and share them, nobody will. They fear this broadcast because they fear you. Whatever you do, spread the links now. We'll be back. We are back live.
I came here looking for something.
I'm your host, Alex Jones. We've got Dr. Nick Begich coming up in just about 6 minutes. Ken in Alabama, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Listener, second time caller. I've got about three ideas for you. I know you're short on time. I'm going to throw them at you real quick and then hang up. You can comment.
Thank you, sir.
As you see fit, maybe some of these ideas are good, maybe they're not. Number one, what can we do about these tech firms, and particularly like Facebook? Can those who know how to do it maybe short their stock and help drive it down, or contrary to that, maybe get a group of people together to buy enough of the shares together to have a block vote, to have force a vote to force Zuckerberg off the board or whatever? And idea number two for you is your graphics department needs to create flyers and or posters that we can download in PDF format and print and distribute. And I'd recommend that they put a large QR code in the lower right-hand corner. Say, for instance, if a vaccine poster, people could scan that QR code, and that would take them to a landing page on your website where you have lots of articles that people could read about the dangers of vaccine. And
well, that's a great idea, and we've had QR codes before. We'll do it again. We do have a page on InfoWars right now that has a bunch of posters people can download or make your own and do it, but that's a great idea. 60% of Facebook stock's owned by Zuckerberg, and the company's worth $560-something billion. So I don't think we'll be able to affect that, but I think word of mouth exposing and calling for President Trump to break it up, I think that is the answer under Antitrust Act.
Uh-huh. And idea number three, for those of us who are computer savvy, could you set up a BitTorrent server for us to download some of the current news items and videos that you guys are creating, contrary to popular belief. You know, BitTorrent is not illegal. Unfortunately, it's just a technology, but some people use it for...
No, I totally agree, and I have a small IT staff, and we're not as sophisticated as folks think. We would like to move into all of that. We're being forced to because of all the censorship and the deplatforming, because, I mean, I believe in those platforms. I just don't believe in things like Bitcoin as a bubble or a tulip bubble as an investment, but I do believe in it as a currency.
Yeah, but BitTorrent is a great technology. I downloaded one of your videos yesterday on the internet using BitTorrent, your video about terrorism. Within about 3 or 4 hours, I was...
No, I agree, sir. So send us an email at showtipsinfowars.com. Great caller. Thank you so much for all those points. What a smart caller. Wish I was that smart. Seriously. Let's talk to Bill in North Carolina. Bill, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Hi.
Hey, Mr. Jones, I want to talk to you about the free college tuition. These guys keep pushing. All that is these colleges have been overrun by a bunch of liberal socialist professors, and all this is another way to indoctrinate these kids to get them
in. No, I agree, and that's why they're so violent now. If they think you're a Trump supporter, you're trying to keep them from their free education as if they're ever really going to get that.
Yes, sir. And also I wanted to visit with you about the Second Amendment, that these guys are continuing trying to do away with the Second Amendment.
Yes.
Yes, sir. If they do away, if they disarm, disarmament of the population will be considered an act of war and will be dealt with accordingly. Yes, sir.
No, I mean, yes, sir, to you, brother. You, the audience, give me the orders. You're awesome. The points you're making are better than the points I make. You're absolutely right. The Democrats are everywhere admitting they want our guns. They want to repeal the Second Amendment. And then we sit here and act like it's a game. This is do or die. This is exponential. It's happening now. What do you think we should do, Bill?
Well, sir, if people need, if they don't have some type of protection right now, they need to get it, whether it's really expensive or not, because if we have any type of a bump, getting ammunition and firearms will be prohibitive.
Well, there's no doubt, sir, that they told us for decades the Democrats don't want your guns, even though in every other country they took them. And now they say, we want to repeal the Second Amendment. We want your guns. We're coming from them. And there was a big article 2 days ago by Kellen McBreen. In fact, pull that Kellen McBreen article up. It was like, every Democratic candidate is for massive gun confiscation was the headline. But we'll try to find that. I'll come back and show that article, show some clips, and then go to the fellow that's going to host this hour, or most this hour. That's Dr. Nick Baggage. Thank you, Bill. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Found it, the tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show.
I hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things.
America is the apple in the globalist eye.
And I don't
for all our problems, we've done amazing things. And if they can take control of us, they believe they have global domination. Today, the United States, tomorrow, the world, is their view. And so, Kellen McBreen a few days ago wrote an article we'll put on screen for TV viewers dealing with the fact that every major Democrat candidate, there's 20-plus of them, wants gun confiscation nationwide. Proof, every single Dem candidate is a danger to the Second Amendment. Now, let's go to a video compilation that's from that article. This is just some of the videos that are in the article where they're admitting all of this just to illustrate how serious this is. These individuals have bodyguards. These individuals own guns, but they don't want you to have them. So we become like Mexico or Democrat cities that have confiscated the guns or don't allow Second Amendment like Chicago or D.C. Here's the report, and then Dr. Nick Baggage takes over.
You know, we have to get these weapons of war off the street. With a ban on these kind of weapons, they're meant for war.
I think most Americans agree that these weapons of war
should not be on our streets.
Would you prosecute people? Do you support the government buying them back? And if not, potentially people could go to jail if they don't want to sell them back. Yes or no?
Again, we should have a law that bans these weapons, and we should have a reasonable period in which people can turn in these weapons. Right now, we have a nation that allows, in streets and communities like mine, these weapons that should not exist.
What's the punishment for people who don't hand in their guns? Do they go to jail?
Well, Jake, they would, but I also offer an alternative, which would be to keep them at a hunting club or a shooting range. I want to do what Australia did and New Zealand just recently did. I think this issue just needs some bold leadership.
By the way, hit pause. Back this up 10 seconds, please. That's all guns at a shooting lodge. That's the end of the Second Amendment. I mean, they're doing it. They're coming for your guns. The New York Times is the headline. Repeal the Second Amendment. It's here.
What Australia did and New Zealand just recently did, I think this issue just needs some bold leadership to do it.
Isn't it fair to say you actually do want to take away people's guns?
You know, keep your pistols, keep your long rifles, keep your shotguns. I want the most dangerous weapons, these weapons of war, out of the hands of the most dangerous people.
Back it up again. He wants to set that precedent to take your guns, even though shotguns and handguns are used in most crimes. He wants you to just acquiesce that something's going to be turned in, that it's everything. Continue.
Isn't it fair to say you actually do want to take away people's guns?
You know, keep your pistols, keep your long rifles, keep your shotguns. I want the most dangerous weapons, these weapons of war, out of the hands of the most dangerous people.
I said back in 1988, I did not believe that in America we should be selling or distributing assault weapons designed to kill human beings. I think they should be banned.
We need to take on the NRA, expand background checks, end the gun show loophole, and ban the sale and distribution of assault weapons.
We have a ban on military-style assault weapons. We adopted universal background check. I'm taking the no NRA pledge.
I think that the NRA owns Congress.
That weapons of war do not belong on our streets.
They're going to say, if you give them bump stock, it's going to be a slippery slope. I certainly hope so.
How do you justify the Democratic view on gun control when the shooter was stopped by a man who was legally licensed to carry a gun?
Well, first of all, the kind of gun being carried, he shouldn't be carrying. Assault weapons are... I wrote the last serious gun control law that was written. It was law for 10 years, and it outlawed assault weapons, and it outlawed weapons with magazines that had a whole lot of bullets, and so you can kill a whole lot of people a lot more quickly.
And we will also insist and ensure that weapons that were designed and sold to the United States military for the express purpose of killing people as efficiently, as effectively, and as great a number as possible are kept on the battlefields and are no longer sold into our communities, because they will end up in our synagogues, in our churches, in our mosques, in our public places. They will take the lives of those in our lives.
There are some weapons of war that you simply cannot justify what they would be doing on the streets in peacetime in America.
Upon being elected, I will give the United States Congress 100 days to get their act together and have the courage to pass reasonable gun safety laws. And if they fail to do it, then I will take executive action. And specifically, what I will do is put in place a requirement that for anyone who sells more than 5 guns a year, they are required to do background checks when they sell those guns.
We outlaw all sorts of military-grade weapons that are deemed too unsafe to have here in America. Things like grenades and anti-tank rockets and landmines. Well, these kinds of weapons designed just to kill people should be outlawed as well.
And the truth is, I have a very proud rating of an F by the NRA now, but the truth of this is that the NRA is corrupted.
If you are receiving this transmission,
and welcome back. And welcome back to InfoWars. You know, we were just listening to this brief clip on the Democrats' sort of take on managing guns and gun control. You know, I want to talk about this just a bit. You know, they want to paint it, and they're using the phrase weapons of war, right, as if to distinguish between any other kind of weapon. And I want to kind of roll back a couple centuries, actually, on this issue. The Revolutionary War, right, over 250 years ago, right? And here was the deal. You know, we didn't have a navy. And we didn't have a military because we were a bunch of independent colonies trying to organize ourselves. And the fact is, individuals owned what we call weapons of war. In fact, merchant ships were equipped with cannons and mortars, you know, big mortars and big cannons, the biggest of the day that you could put on a ship. And then big estates and farms and communities, they all had cannons and mortars, and most of them were in private hands, actually. Cannons and mortars, you know, we don't let that happen. You know, I guess we've already got gun control, right? We don't let people have cannons and mortars. But think of some of the merchant ships that have been stuck by pirates around the world. Wouldn't it be nice if they were equipped with a few cannons these days to take care of that problem? But the point is, we don't allow that anymore. And now they want to confiscate what they call assault weapons. Weapons of war. Well, if it wasn't for the weapons of war in the Revolutionary period, we wouldn't have the country we have to fight about this today. So maybe a little closer scrutiny about people that have them. I mean, in our legislature right now, there's a bill pending. I'm concerned about it, but it's for anyone who is involuntarily incarcerated in a mental hospital might be restricted from buying a firearm. But they, too, would have an appeal process to go back through, and you know, if it's been 50 years or whatever, you know, and reappeal. But, you know, from my perspective, that's, again, a slippery slope, because then they'll say, well, if you have a mental illness, well, then what's that? Who's going to decide that? If you ever saw a counselor in your life, a marriage counselor, or a counselor with your kids, is that going to restrict you at some point? Perhaps so. You know, again, slippery slopes take us down the wrong direction, which is what people are concerned about in using this heinous events, you know, of where people have gotten totally crazy, you know, with assault rifles. But more than that, I mean, most of the violence, gun violence, is not assault rifles. It's shotguns, pistols, you know, the guns that they're saying they're not going to restrict. But this is the slippery slope. You know, in Germany, they're already restricted to gun clubs, but try and get a membership to a gun club. You go through extensive training for weeks or months or whatever, and then you can go to the gun club and check out your gun. You know, it's like pretty ridiculous. In my part of the world, in Alaska, gun ownership is kind of fundamental. Most people have one or two or three or four in their homes, and usually a couple hundred rounds for each one, because that's kind of standard fare in my part of the world, in Alaska. We're coming into the break in a few seconds. I'm going to come back. We're going to get into the First Amendment rights, some of the implications in the technocracy of the 21st century. You're listening to InfoWars. This is Dr. Nick Begich, and we'll be right back after these brief messages.
The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind, with Nick Begich.
And welcome back to InfoWars.com in this fourth hour. This Mother's Day is coming up this weekend, Mother's Day. I want to shout out for all the moms out there, my own and my fiance Ann, who is recovering after a surgery this week. And all the mothers out there who brought us all into the world so we can do the work that we do. And we just want to make sure we show our appreciation. Make sure you do that this weekend if you haven't done so already. You know, thinking about, you know, all of the fundamental issues that are at stake right now, you know, and when I started reporting on a lot of these issues, technology issues, the technocracy, as it's now referred to in terms of what government has become, the blending. And if you look at the Democratic Party, what is it consists of now? And, you know, multi-generational history. My brother Tom did his master's thesis on that in one of his things he was doing in college. And it was the idea that over generations from one to the next is where you really get a historical context that otherwise is lost by whoever sort of trains up the next generation. If you can do this successively two, three, four generations, as has happened now, you can really reshape and reframe what becomes history, what is the future. When you think about the internet and modern media, the technocracy's tools, these have the greatest impact of all in changing the very character and nature of not just public debate, the town square, if you will, but let's think about it in the context of our founding fathers even, and what's kind of happened and what's driven it. And a lot of it is, in fact, the military-industrial complex, which later merged with the academics and then the globalists to create something much, much different, but predicated on the same warnings that Thomas Paine, one of our founding fathers in terms of debate, you know, when he wrote Common Sense and the Rights of Man, and I've been reviewing that those writings lately. And one of the things he warned about was military, standing militaries being formed up after and in advance of war. You know, that's when they collected tax. We didn't have standing income taxes, and we didn't have standing armies. So they would, governments would have these conflicts. They would create taxation, and then an army to go deal with the problems. And after the army was done doing its thing, they never reduced the taxes. They just added to them periodically with a new war. And if you look at sort of the evolution of our country, not inside of a monarchy, but in sort of a technocracy that we've created today, you have the same equation. Think about the largest portion of the deficits are driven by defense spending, most of which is for foreign governments and foreign institutions that have nothing absolutely to do with you and I on a day-to-day basis. But our deficits are paying for that. Our billions and billions and trillions of dollars now, trillions in deficits are paying for all of that. At the same time, we deindustrialize the West and then suppress the ability to have this discussion. And that's really what's going on. It's an attack on the First Amendment and the Second Amendment, the foundations of the Republic. When you get right down to it, on the same arguments, the same debate, the same fundamental human qualities that were being debated 250, 275 years ago when the founding fathers were emerging in their thought processes in terms of what a democracy within a republic might look like and how that might evolve. And we've been in that experiment now over 250 years. And there's been changes, you know, we've had constitutional amendments that came after those first 10 Bill of Rights. But when you think about this, again, within the technocracy that exists today, ground has to be recaptured. This president is the only one. The Democrats are making it institutionally acceptable to attack gun rights and speech rights and press rights and the right of assembly, even when you consider the internet is the town square. It's where we assemble in the 21st century to have a dialogue. And anything that restricts that dialogue is an affront to a constitutional form of government such as ours that has embedded in it freedom of the press, which isn't just about the press getting to restrict and control. It's not a business amendment. It's not a business transaction. The press is a principle, an idea, an ideal that's embedded in who we are, whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, a Libertarian, an Independent, a Green, whatever you are, politically, the right to have discourse within the public square is fundamental to being whatever you are and whoever you are within this democratic republic. That's what's under attack right now. When you think of personal privacy, as we used to think about the doorway of our home that was protected from intrusion, right? That no one could kick in your door and occupy your residence and confiscate your goods without due process and the understanding of law. But your digital doorway that is more fundamental to your freedom and your liberty and your privacy today than anything ever imagined and would have been protected had it been imagined 250 years ago, absolutely protected. And it's not. We've allowed businesses to exploit it for commercial purposes in partnership with government who exploits it for other purposes. And then they use the the vehicles of government under the Obama administration to further their political ends. No, the vehicle of government is not to further anyone's individual or collective political ends in that sense, without it being fully transparent and exposed to public debate, public discourse, open channels of communication, and absolute free speech. Absolute free speech, no restriction, except you have the individual right to change the channel. That's it. In terms of weapons of war, nonsense. Kick that back into their league and get a bumper sticker or t-shirt together without cannons in the Merchant Marines, right? I mean, if we hadn't had independently owned cannons and mortars, no Revolutionary War would have been won. And we wouldn't have been able to deal with the attacks of our shipping on the open seas. In fact, it was Payne who proposed issuing special grants to privateers, private ship owners, where for every pound of cannonballs and gunpowder and cannons that they had to lose freight, that we compensated them for the loss of freight, but we equipped them with some cannons. You know, that would have been a pretty good expenditure of public money, you know, merchant ships that we didn't have to pay for, fully equipped with cannons. Pretty good idea. You know, got a lot of ships in the sea in a hurry that were already there. We just said, hey, guys, add some more cannon. You know, and today we're worrying about assault rifles for a few lunatics. And, you know, when you think about gun deaths in the United States, in my community in Alaska, it's not gun deaths, people getting run over by cars. You know, I think they're out feeding gun deaths this year in Anchorage. But gun deaths, yeah, they're legitimate, big deal. You know, 15, 20,000 a year, that's a big number. Medical malpractice, about 250,000 people die of that a year. No one's confiscating scalpels and pills from doctors right now. But they're over 10 times, 12 times, 15 times gunshot deaths, and there's nothing going on there, except your medical bills are going up. This is Dr. Nick Begich. We're talking about the Bill of Rights and our rights, and we'll be right back on InfoWars.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Nick Begich. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
And welcome back. This is Dr. Nick Begich on this Friday at the fourth hour. You know, and actually, I'm going to be here on every Friday. We're going to try and make this a regular Friday fourth hour event, unless I'm traveling or something. Otherwise, you can plan on hearing me every fourth hour on Fridays. Speech, you know, freedom of speech, you know, under attack when we think about what's happened to this network and now others, that's quickly devolving. But I want to go back in time again, because the multi-generational history is a big deal. And, you know, I'm 60 now. And you know, when I think back to the conversation I had with my grandfather, who was born in 1890, all right, so that goes back a ways. You know, you get a perspective of the evolution of technology when you get to have a conversation with a guy like that. Now, he's, of course, long since passed. But thinking, you know, multi-generational memory and how we look at our politics, we have now over 250 years of history from the founding fathers to where we are today. And 2.5 centuries plus, you lose a lot in the translation over time. And that's some of what I think this program has been about, is trying to recapture some of that in the onslaught of a globalist assault that happens, as the late Chuck Carter used to say, for those who remember him as a radio host, one slice at a time until the bologna is all gone, right? I mean, it's like the slow boil of the frog. And so the multi-generational perspective is important, and young people now, invigorated with that knowledge, can be a real force for change. And so, you know, part of the, you know, it's the analysis of the current events against the backdrop of history and the remembrance of the basic values that drive the country, I think, again, is foundational. And yeah, they were a bunch of old white-haired white dudes back then. And we've evolved as a country in terms of our understanding of humanity and freedom and liberty And we've continued that evolution. Things do change, and history does change things. And so we need to make sure we've retained the fundamentals of those basic rights on the backdrop of the scaffolding of modern culture, on the things that create the modern culture, because the foundation still remains the same. But we've continued to build on that foundation, and we cannot lose sight of the foundation that holds the whole thing together, and that's what's been lost. This generation particularly, although they say the generation coming behind this current one is one of the most conservative ever, and I think so, because it's the backlash to the craziness that people are seeing today and how that's really rubbed against the base of humanity. Freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom, privacy is a fundamental, were experiments 250 years ago, and they proved to be quite useful. What has happened is a drift away from the experiment that was working, in fact, past the experiment to success, and now it's evolving again. And let me remind people how what was handled in a monarchy. That's what I want to go back to, because that's what was being resisted back then. And it was the idea that everybody was on the land, but the land was owned by the monarchy, and they took your production, a certain percentage of production from the land. And if you didn't produce enough, they just throw you off in the street, you know, literally, and you die. And that's what happened. You died, you know, during the Irish potato famine, you died frozen to death, and the landlords continued to confiscate. A lot of people left during that famine, and that's one of the ways America was actually populated. My family came a little bit later in the 1880s. My great grandfather, my mother's side, came here, and on my great grandmother, also on my mother's side, came here from Europe, and then on my father's side from Croatia in 1906. I had the opportunity to go back and visit my grandfather's place of birth with my oldest son, who's now 41. And that gives you some perspective, because there's nothing changed hardly at all there in, you know, 120 years. And the same place my grandfather left is still there. I mean, it's my relatives are still living there. My grandfather never made it back. And I think about when he came through Ellis Island, and I've got the entry images and all that, and he came through in 1906, but he didn't become a citizen until the 1920s, I believe, before that was finalized. And, you know, when you think about that whole migration period and what's happened, that was before income tax. They were leaving, you know, a rough way of being in the West, so-called West. Liberty wasn't there. Freedom wasn't there even in 1906. But going back to the founding fathers, the monarchy maintained control of the land, and the church at the time essentially kept you stupid because they thought you needed some intermediary between you and God, which I got a news flash, you don't. It's okay if that's what you want to do, but you don't need an intermediary. And so when you look at what was happening, when income tax came in, it was another way to tax the labor of human beings, something that was unconstitutional, ruled by the U.S. Supreme Court in the 1890s, that income tax, taxing a human labor, was involuntary servitude, not allowed in the United States. And what we saw evolve was something that only affected not even the middle class, or the lower class, the massive of the country were not affected. Only the rich at the time, and the very rich at the time, paid an income tax. And that, of course, we saw the erosion of that over time to where now corporations pay the least amount and individuals pay the most amount, taxing up to a third of your labor or more as an individual at the national level. And then at the state level, another bite, and then excise taxes and all the roll up on that, another bite, until they're probably grabbing about 80% of your productive labor. So are you free, or have we evolved into a new form of serf? In fact, most of our land has property tax at the local and state level in most communities in the country. So you don't even own your land. You have a partnership. You have a partnership with the state, and you have a partnership with the bank, because most people don't own anything anymore. Used to be able to own a homestead. You could go out, put stakes in the ground, grab the four corners, survey it, mark it off, and, you know, create a farm there and clear it. And at the end of the day, you'd own it. So you actually did own your property. Mortgage, there's no such thing as mortgage. That's a modern thing, you know, in terms of how those evolved, in terms of average people having them. A credit as such has evolved. That's a banker's trick, happened way after income taxes. easy credit, installment credit, none of that. That evolved in this last century, you know, like less than 100 years ago even. But these are systems to recreate the slave state, right? I mean, really, if you think about it. And then to limit your privacy by attacking you digitally, which is what's happened. The kick in your digital doorway has happened. And that's where now, because digital information is to the domain of commerce, nobody wants to interfere. It's not the domain of commerce anymore. It's the domain of privacy. It belongs to us individually. It should not be used or exploited in any way, collected for sales, political, or any other reason. It ought to be deleted. Boop, delete, not related to you at all in any way, shape, or form, and illegal to do so on every level. You know, we need to rethink this digital world that we've created, because in fact it is the foundation of freedom today and speech today, and the very essence of who we are as liberal, liberated in the old sense, liberated people. That's what it used to mean. Liberated, free of restriction and undue regulation and undue intrusion by government into our lives. It used to fit two volumes. You could carry the entire law library under your arm, and now it fills up three or four floors of a big building, and nobody knows what the law says or what the regulations mean. It's just a big hijacking of the republic, one slice at a time, until the baloney's all gone. And now we need to call it like it is. We need to demand that this president do what he did, what he said, and what he has started doing like no other has ever done. Disrupt it. Shake the core of the status quo that has failed us, that has failed the nation and failed our values. No matter what political party or persuasion we come from, we are being robbed of our democracy and robbed of this republic. This is Dr. Nick Begich. We'll be right back.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones. And now, your host, Nick Begich.
And welcome back in the last segment of this fourth hour on May 10th, 2019. And we've been talking about really the fundamental rights in the context of the technocracy, something that I started reporting on now 25 years ago as I saw it kind of evolving and what it was going to do. And when I go back even to my late teens, I was talking to a lot of people about what I saw then. This would have been the 1970s. And what I was seeing then was this whole concept that transportation, information, and communication systems at that time were going to be the big revolutionary trendsetters in terms of technology. And if you think about it, after that is where we got Federal Express, UPS, the whole idea of the spoke and hub idea of shipping and express shipping got evolved. Literally, Alaska has shipping hubs for FedEx and UPS for their international shipping. If you look on a globe, which makes sense, you'll see why, because of where we sit relative to Europe, Asia, and the North, South America. Easy to transit this hub for the entire Northern Hemisphere, for sure. So when you think about kind of technology, and then you look at communications, obviously now we can make calls anywhere in the U.S. for virtually nothing. You know, it's all hooked into our cell phones. Internationally, we can use Skype or WhatsApp or any number of things that'll get us around the world. Basically nothing, you know, free communication on a level that's never been unbelievable. I mean, my grandfather, again, talking multi-generational memory, was here when radio was invented, okay? I mean, he was a kid when radio was invented. Phones weren't in standard use. They were kind of a unique thing when he was born in 1890. But you think of the whole evolution of transportation, communication, information systems, stuff I was talking about, and you look at the next 50 years from the 70s to where we are and where we're headed, unbelievable difference. So when you think about technology doubles. From where we are today, from the invention of the wheel to where we are today, that span of human inventiveness will double in 6 to 9 months, and does that every 6 to 9 months. Because now you have all these technologies feeding on one another, and everything is accelerated And when you dump quantum computing on this, which is coming, and AI, which is coming, which is again going to reshape the whole discussion of what liberty, freedom, and within a democratic republic is going to look like. This generation right now, those that remember the values and those that know the technology, the young and the old, which is why now more than ever, the recognition of multi-generational knowledge needs to be expressed and shared between grandparents and grandchildren. You know, we need to get the gap filled. A lot of grandparents are retired, share strong values, have an opportunity to reach out, communicate with your grandchildren through the vehicles that exist today. Use these tools, Skype, internet, whatever you can if you can't be with them in present. Be with them, share the values, pass them on, because this is the way the next generation will be shaped. It's either going to be on the backdrop of that. Think about what's happened within the household, within the family, again, an erosion within a republic, when you have no one training kids, the state is, or daycare center is, it's giving them their agenda, not your agenda. Grandparents who have time can engage their grandchildren ways the parents can't. Take them for the summer on a trip for a month. Go do something with your grandkids where you have a chance to get close to them and influence them with your stories, your narrative, your thinking, your experiences, and pass them on in a context of values. Kids love it, man, and we don't do it enough. And it's something the kids are crying for, that kind of outreach. Turn the electronics off, and they'll fight like crazy as they go through the electronic withdrawals, because it is. Because what's happening with the electronics, they get a releases of biochemicals within the brain that excite them, that stimulate them, the same centers of the brain that are attached to orgasm, drug addiction, alcoholism, you know, these things that create the reoccurring habits that are irresistible is what's being imposed on children today. So extracting them. And then you do the programming. Take over as chief programmer. That's what I joke about it with my youngest, who's 12. I'm her chief programmer because what I say matters to her. What you say to your children matters to them, the values you convey. And these fundamental values should be delivered in a way where they get the depth of the understanding and the heart of it. The heart of what it means to be an American is only going to be conveyed by you, because the institutions of education from K through 12 are not doing it anymore. They're doing the opposite. They're giving a squishy, socialistic collectivism for the new 21st century slave. This is not what we are about. When you think about basic freedoms, even the Bill of Rights isn't even taught in school. You know, I mean, it's like the last course in a high school program is government class for a semester. What do you learn by then? Nothing. In a semester, you should be knowing about government from K through 12 every year, something that teaches you not just about a bunch of historical footnotes, but how do you engage your government? How do you participate in government? What does it mean to have free speech? What does it mean to have freedom of the press? What are the Bill of Rights, and should we be able to articulate them as children? And the answer is yes, we should. Foundationally, from elementary school, middle school, high school, not on the last semester of high school to fill out some check the box. No. It's foundational to who we are. That box should have been checked long before your last year of high school. And you ought to be participating by then, if you're 18 years old, in your precinct caucuses and your district caucuses, if you're in a political party. And so you can take over your political party if you're listening to this broadcast. You know, that's how simple it is. If you show up to your precinct caucuses, nobody does, Democrats or Republicans, or Libertarians for that matter, show up, find out where they're at, and then show up for the district caucuses after. And if you show up in mass, you take over. In mass, like on the district level, might be 10 people, you know. And I've seen even less that can take over a district precinct caucus, find out when their elections are, and then crash the party and organize it. You can do these things. You know, the moral majority did that back in the 80s, you know, and they organized at the precinct level and the district level. And they took over the Republican Party and held it quite a while. I don't believe in religious control of political parties even more as any more than I believe in a monarchy controlling them. But the idea that individuals can control them with similar political values, I think, is the whole point of it, isn't it? And if they don't represent your values, then either get out of those parties or take over. You know, I mean, it's one of the two. Don't stay and talk about how crummy they are. Either take over or get out. And Trump took over. He beat everybody and changed the Republican Party into the party of what it is today, which is, you know, way different than what the globalists had in mind when they took control of it and what they have in mind owning the Democrats still. And they're doing everything they can to strip you of your freedom and your speech, most importantly. 2 years out in front of the next election, Donald Trump, get on board, man. Reclaim the public space. We want to have our discussion. Whether you're running or not, at least defend our right to have that discussion now and in the future by coming down on these big tech companies, breaking up the monopoly power that they control and changing the course of history. You know, this hour I haven't plugged, and I need to plug a little bit for the network. And I want to encourage people to go to the InfoStore. InfoStores.com supports this network. I volunteer my time when I come on. So I'm not on the payroll here or anything like that because I believe in what we're doing. I believe in the education that we're providing. And it's important. 3 or 4 times a year, I come down for a week and do some more intense stuff with the guys here because I believe in the network and what we're accomplishing. But we need your support. InfoWarsStore.com. We always have specials going, but the products are the best. InfoWarsStore.com. My books and videos are there. Supplements are all there. Go there and support the network. That takes care of the guys that allow this production to happen. And there's a great crew behind those of us that have a face on the screen or a voice on the airwaves that make this all work. And we appreciate when you support the InfoWars and the war we're in, because it really is about information. When we've been going through the show today, talking about the basic fundamental rights that are being stripped away by the technocracy, by those that would attack our freedoms, strip us of our liberties, and take away our guns so we can never get them back. Now is the time. This is the call. You're the tip of the spear. And this is Dr. Nick Begich in this fourth hour on a Friday afternoon in my part of the world. And we'll be back next Friday. Thank you for being here. Have a great weekend. Remember your mother. It's Mother's Day. Remember your mothers and your wives.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.